United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Well, so With brutality, talk to me so you can see. Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is cold outside. I just want you guys to all know that if you don't live in Northeast Ohio, if you're not on the East Coast of America, it's cold outside. Breakfast was good, but it was cold. Hey, Stick, good morning.
Good morning. It was 2 below at my house this morning.
I don't know if it was 2 below or 2 below.
It wasn't 2 below.
It was cold.
It wasn't no Mississippi. It don't get this cold in Mississippi.
All I know is it's cold. And, you know, I was on my way here, and, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm girly a little bit, and I'm very vain, and, you know, some at times of how I look. And I had on this crazy-looking hat, and I got on red corduroys today and a black top, and I had on this, I think my gloves are red. And I've got a crazy sweater. And I look like, you know, in fashion they call it color blocking. There was no block to the color. And I said, you know, people really look crazy in the wintertime. They really don't care as long as it's warm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Being warm supersedes anything else.
Right.
It was bad.
Oh, it was brutal this morning. I saw a guy on the way in here. I saw a guy working on one of those billboard signs. And I just can't imagine being out in that. I mean, I worked like that when I was a young man, but not anymore.
Well, you know, the difference is, I mean, the insulation, the clothing that they have today is really, really helpful. I mean, you can go outside in some sub-zero weather and with the right warming clothes on and never really feel the extent of it, except for your face, your open areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm quite sure he's got that sub-zero all-weather in there with him. I'm quite sure of it. But they never let us off from school on days like this.
I don't ever remember being canceled for cold.
No. But I think it's because parents don't take time to
dress their children
like they should.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we waited. I waited for the bus at the end of the driveway.
Right.
You know, I mean, so you didn't.
We had to walk to the bus stop.
Yeah, you didn't go to school. I mean, you didn't leave the house unless you were bundled up.
And so I'm watching the school closings because of the cold, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I remember being outside. It was cold.
Mm-hmm.
I never remember when we were able to go to school because it was cold. Snow, I mean, and snow days were snow days. They weren't like, I'm quite sure they were more than 2 inches because my knees were more than 2 inches high. And now we
actually... I remember the blizzard of 78.
Oh, I don't remember the... There may have been a blizzard, and I may be old enough to remember it, but I didn't know.
Well, I remember because the way the driveway was, we shoveled it out, and I know that it drifted. It was 6 feet deep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Alabama, your mic's on. Good morning.
What's going on? I was listening to y'all. Y'all need to come on down south.
How's your weather down there? How's it going down there? How you doing?
It's about 40 degrees, sunny.
Oh. Thank you very much for your weather report. South Carolina called me.
I couldn't go no higher than Tennessee. I really couldn't. I just couldn't put up with it. I really couldn't.
What do you mean you really couldn't? You could hang. You could hang.
Look, let me tell you something. I believe, especially black folk, we don't like being cold now. We can have it some heat. But cold, I can handle the heat because at night you're going to get a break. When it's cold all day.
Yeah.
That is true.
That reminds me of that scene in the movie Gone in 60 Seconds. Have you seen that movie?
I've seen the movie, but I wasn't paying attention probably.
Black guy and a white guy's on the roof breaking in. He's hollering about being cold. He says, black people are tropical people. We don't do this cold weather.
Absolutely. And there is some truth to that. There really is. Because if you look even at when you go into people's homes, if you go into an African-American home in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you it will not be as cold as it is in you European houses.
White people don't have a problem being 65 degrees, 70 degrees. They'll freeze you to death, especially in a corporate environment.
Our stats set at 68 at home.
Even at night?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
See, 6 days, got into it, Stig. I'd be arguing with you. Like, look here, man, I'm going to turn the heat up. Stig would be going, like, who turned the heat up? It'd be at 7 or 8. He'd be like, what's going on?
Now, some of them do it just because it's cheap. They cheap. They don't want to spend no money. I know some black folks like that.
Okay.
But the rest of us, mm-mm. We'll pay that bill when it comes, but I have to be warned. Have you heard about the propane shortage?
No, I didn't know there was a propane
shortage. There's a propane shortage. Even around here, they're asking people to ration and to conserve if they use propane to heat their houses. And the state of Ohio, they have declared an emergency here because of propane. There's a propane shortage. Yet we got natural gas and nobody wants to go get
propane,
it.
Is propane cheaper than paying the gas bill, regular gas bill?
No, it's more expensive. Propane is more expensive than natural gas.
Why would you heat your house with propane?
Because you don't have access to natural gas.
And oil is too expensive.
And oil is more expensive than propane.
Ooh, that's mean.
Because we just put a propane furnace in my dad's.
Ooh, that's mean. That's nasty.
Well, whatever that diesel number is, subtract 50 cents off of it, and that's what home heating oil is.
Ooh, that's ugly, too.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I know there are some people that do not have natural gas lines.
Right, where I live. I mean, if we didn't have the well, we wouldn't have natural gas.
Because it costs too much to actually get the natural gas from the line down the road?
Right, because the gas company won't.
You have to pay for your own line.
Right. So, like, now the guy up about a quarter of a mile from me, he brought it down from the main road, and he had to buy all that frontage, pay for all that footage.
Right.
Now, if somebody goes in between him and the road.
They'll be okay.
The person has to pay for their frontage, and he gets a check back from the gas company.
Okay. I know when I lived in the township, you had to pay for the gas line coming down the street,
mm-hmm.
and it was a concession on your tax.
Oh, see, out there, it's not doesn't have anything to do with taxes. You write a check to them.
They could set utilities up where you really shouldn't, maybe gas, but you shouldn't have to pay for power. And really, you can kind of get away with not paying for water, just depending on where you are. So,
where you could get that? Where are you coming in with that?
You got people. I know people that don't have a water bill. They got wells.
Yeah, we don't. We got a well.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. I know someone who has a pond, and their pond, their natural pond is their water source.
Spring fed pond.
Yeah.
Yeah. My.
The reason we pay power bills. I was just saying the reason we pay power bills is because John Rockefeller owns some copper mines, and when Tesla was about to was trying to get it where you don't have to have lines running in every house. You could just do it a different way. He stopped that. He bought out Westinghouse and just stopped all that, killed all it, because he knew people were going to be paying power bills forever. He saw an opportunity.
I've heard that story before J.P. Morgan was the financier on that, and he told them, you can't put a meter on that. So, yeah, I've heard that before.
Oh, and by the way, these smart meters that they're putting on your house, the government's passing bills now, is going to report what all of your usage is going to be reported to the government. That's why they switched over to smart meters.
Why does the government want to know how much oil and gas I use?
Because they're screaming green energy. They're gonna tax you for that. Taxing you for gas usage, power you. All the utilities are just gonna snitch on you now. You buy a fridge, it's just gonna snitch on you.
Not only that, they're gonna be able to shut them off. So if you're running your air conditioner and you want your air conditioning at 65 degrees, and they don't want your air conditioner to be at 65 degrees, they're not going to let you turn it lower than 70.
I think they're doing that now with gas, because at about 11:30 every night, there's a burst of heat that comes to the house that is different than, I mean, it's around between 11:30 and 12 o'clock at my house.
Mm-hmm.
There is a, you know, it's like the furnace has a whole new life. And then all of a sudden it just dwindles down, no matter what you set the thermostat on.
I don't know. You'd have to have one of those
smart meters.
Well, the thing is that all that technology where you can run your whole house from your phone.
Yeah.
That's all the same technology that the government will be able to run your house for you. They'll set your temperatures. They'll set your.
You're gonna have a lot of people freezing to death. You're gonna have people freezing to death when the Democrats get in office.
I don't need them to help me with my thermostat. I just need for them to set up an infrastructure where people can come in here and people can go to work.
My opinion, find more energy.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Six and I are here in the studio. We don't have a guest today, so it's just he and I. So we'll just kick it around and talk about what's on our mind, and you can jump in and tell us what's on your mind.
If you get rid of the meters, if people get off the grid, there's nothing it could do to you. Like, you could literally have your whole house, like, off the grid, and it's not, and you could be in city limits. It just depends
they
on
just,
where you are.
Did you see that story where they condemned that woman's house, said it was unfit for human occupation because she was off the grid in Florida?
Well, they do that all the time. They told a guy he was running the camp.
Some of them go so far off the grid they go off the cliff.
Well, but this woman they never had a complaint from one of the neighbors from any odors or anything. And I'm assuming she had a large lot, and they did a TV report on her on the news about her being off the grid, and she said that they came out there and put a sticker on her house, and never even walked through the door to inspect it. Condemned, unfit for human habitation.
Well, also, I mean, let's be honest, that's just unconstitutional, to be quite frankly, because I feel like you should be free. Well, I ain't going to say unconstitutional, but I just feel like you should be free to live how you want to live. I just don't think you can tell someone, look, you have to join and pay a power bill. I don't like that at all. You can wire your house up.
We already do that.
The gauge of wire, let me tell you something, the gauge of wire that they tell you to wire your houses up with is actually lower. The white wire, usually if you use the orange one, which is a higher gauge, lower gauge, what will happen is it won't be as much resistance and you'll get a much cheaper power bill. But they don't tell you that because the code book tells you you can use the white wires, which you have more resistance. That's why people get the power bills they get.
Hey, 212, your mic is on. How you doing this morning?
Good. How you doing, Jersey?
I'm cold.
Me too. I just wanted to add to what Sticks was saying. There was a show on Fox News the other day. John Stocks was saying, there's a guy in West Virginia. You know, I'm sure you all know about the Mountain Men.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I heard about it.
They're doing the same thing where?
In West Virginia. It's with the Mountain Men. They're saying that their houses are not fit they're uninhabitable because they're off the grid. They use their own power, they use their own water, they use their own heat, and they're just telling them that they want them to be part of the government, telling them that they cannot do that. And it's wrong.
If they give you a tax break for having kids. The reason they give you a tax, you produce it for taxpayers. That's really what it's about. Anything that helps us, we're gonna benefit you for it. Anything that we feel like you're trying to be independent, you don't need us, we're going to penalize you.
But see, I agree. Don't get me wrong. I agree. But, you know, if I choose to live off the grid, I need to be able to live off the grid, as long as it does not infringe upon anyone else's life. But see, this is what I can't understand, and I think I've said this before on air. I don't understand how we can have public utilities that everything comes from the ground, yet the government has to pay utility bills just like everyone else.
What's
that? See, schools,
mm-hmm.
public buildings, their highest expense is their utility bill.
Right.
And or outside of labor.
Right.
Well, if it's natural gas, it comes from the ground. You own the ground, and you're the government, and you are a
no.
part. What?
You mean you're talking about drilling on their own property?
Whether it be drilling on their own property or whether it's
because the government doesn't own my natural gas.
I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about where they are. I mean, right now you have water, Youngstown Water.
Right.
Does the city have a water bill?
I don't know.
Do schools have water bills?
I don't know.
I would say they do. They don't get free water. But it's public water that's owned by the city of Youngstown, so why do we charge the schools for water?
I don't have any idea.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you have to charge
what?
For the pumping. You have to charge for the upkeep of the pipes.
But remember, it should be a nominal fee, but not all the excess fees that go inside of a water bill.
Seen water bills till you've seen sewer.
Because these businesses are using crony capitalism. They've gotten in with government. Politicians are getting kickbacks through these lobbyists. It's businesses that siphon off the government a lot of times use that to cheat and get an unfair advantage against competition. It's not real capitalism.
Did you see where the former governor of Virginia got indicted?
Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't do anything necessarily illegal. It was unethical, but not necessarily illegal.
They're fighting it, I heard.
Well, they have to. I mean, they should fight it because he could go to jail for what they indicted him for. But he didn't give anything away. The man might be trying to buy him,
mm-hmm.
but he sure didn't get anything for what he bought.
No.
Are you guys familiar with the Birmingham water situation, the water board in Birmingham, Alabama?
No.
I think it was on Stoffel. They talked about how it's bankrupt. It's they went bank, ran by a bunch of black Democrats, basically, and they ran it in the ground. And they locked up this guy, Richard Arrington, who was, he's from Fairfax, but the guy was, he's the one that brought in this big amusement park down here called Division Land. And he's in jail right now for taking suits, took some suits from some people, and now he's in jail. I mean, it's really.
See, this is the issue. You can only go by the state statute, your state laws, when you're elected to statewide office or state offices. And if there's no law written, then you didn't break a law. And what's going on in Virginia is the man did some unethical stuff, but none of it had anything to do with the law because there was no law written about him taking crazy gifts. In Ohio, you can go to jail. In Alabama, you can go to jail, maybe. We know in Detroit you can go to jail. But in Virginia, there was no law.
The current governor or the previous governor?
Is today Wednesday?
Shouldn't it be commensurate with the magnitude of the gift? I mean, you can't put nobody in jail for 20 years for taking $500 worth of suits. That's stupid. That is stupid. That's when the law becomes dumb. I mean, come on, man. I give you $500 worth of suits and you got to spend 20 years of your life in jail. Get up. Come on, man. That's when the law
Alabama.
Is dumb.
Alabama, you shouldn't have taken the suits. You don't
20
you
years. Don't take- hold on, Tracy. So you're a politician. I know you've been in office before. And I give you a few hundred dollars for something or do something. Yeah, I'm trying to bribe you. Okay, you got me. But do you think that person should do 20 years? Or maybe
yeah.
A few months. I maybe
yeah.
6, 7
20
months.
Years.
Jail is jail enough. Come on.
20 years. Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. AM 600. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Boardman, construction crews will continue work along Route 224 after taking a break over the holidays. The section of the road between 680 and Tiffany Boulevard will be reduced to one lane starting this morning at 8 a.m., and it's going to stay that way until Friday morning at 8 a.m. The $5.4 million widening project is expected to be completed by October of this year. Youngstown's new mayor, John McNally, wants residents to talk to him about anything they want. He's starting what he calls 5 minutes with the mayor Tuesday at 5 p.m. at City Hall. Anyone is welcome to come. McNally says it gives people access to City Hall a chance to voice concerns. He says it's a first-come, first-served basis. It's going to be held every third Tuesday of the month. And Youngstown is getting some national recognition. The president made a speech in Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday, naming the city as a manufacturing hub. He praised the great work being done at Youngstown's America Makes, the first manufacturing innovation institute built during his administration. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan. Trying to find a Valentine's gift?
Does a set of steak knives seem appropriate?
Are you trying to give her a weapon to use on you?
I'm beginning to think this whole love thing is a grave mental disease.
Well, they do say, till death do you part.
I tried marriage.
Really?
Never got any sleep.
And it broke up?
We agreed to never go to bed mad.
That's good.
We just stayed up and fought.
I'm going to help you out.
No, never getting married again.
That's not what I meant.
Next time, I'm finding a woman I don't like and just giving her my house.
Listen up, bitter boy. Go online, 600WSOM.com. Click on Sweet Deals and buy a ticket to Stupid Cupid.
You're calling me stupid?
It's tempting. Listen to the announcer.
Uncelebrate Valentine's Day, February 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. Dinner, your choice of carved roasted sirloin, chicken francaise, or sausage and peppers.
Mmm, tasty.
Comedian Dom Leonelli, dance to Simply Ed, prizes and fun.
Can I book a table?
Sure. Call Justine at 330-779-8114 after you bought your tickets. And everyone's welcome, single, married, or groups.
You know what they say?
No.
Love is blind. It's marriage that's eye-opening.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do. normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now, that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths, welcome.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and it's cold outside. I think it's hovering like somewhere around 1. Maybe. I think the highest we're supposed to get here in Mahoning Valley is supposed to be 10.
Yeah.
But I think right now it's like hovering like 1.
Oh, Lord.
And the sun has come out, and the sun is still not warming up. I got a question for you guys. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. How can the sun shine as bright as it does in the wintertime? So where you have to put sunglasses on because of the sun and because of the glare of the cold. But the sun can be as hot as it is, and it can still be as cold as it is outside.
Because of the Gulf Stream.
No. No, seriously. Hey, Diva, your mic is on. No, seriously.
You don't know why. You don't remember.
I just want to.
That's a high school question.
High school or grade school.
Okay.
Because of the angle of the sun
hitting the atmosphere of the Earth.
Yeah.
It's not concentrated enough to heat up anything.
No.
The southern hemisphere is collecting the direct rays of the sun.
Right.
No.
Yes.
No, my question. No.
They're having summer down there.
Right now.
Tracy, I get what you're saying.
Not the Southern Pole.
You understand what I'm saying, Alabama? Listen to this.
No, what you're saying is tomorrow, like 4 or 5 days from now, it can heat up to 50 degrees up there. And you'd be like, well, what's the difference? Why today it's 1 degree
and
then
the sun is still
Friday? But the thing is the Gulf Stream and the wind and the air that's usually over the Tiger region. Which is where you're located. Like, you're not right. The tundra's up north. The air is always colder. So when the Gulf Stream, and those are like the rivers of air that flow over the earth, when they dip down, because they move, that's why you get cold fronts and warm fronts. When they move,
we got good mic.
Then that rain comes through. Then here comes a deep drop in the temperature. So, and then it may rise when a warm front comes because the wave pushes back up.
But see, think about this. I mean, seriously, it is very, and I understand the science of, and about the angle of the sun and the angle of the earth and how we move. And but that's not what I'm saying. In the summertime, the sun will not be shining, and it will be warm.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, the sun is so bright. We get more sun days sometimes in the wintertime that is so bright. Like today, the sun is shining. Like, it's a bright, it looks like it should be warm outside, and you go out there, and it's like you freak your tuchus off.
Well, that's another thing, too. I mean, the clouds insulate. They hold the energy in. And in the wintertime, it's actually warmer when it's cloudy.
Absolutely. Because it'll hold heat in
it. It's the insulation.
Where is the warmth from the sun?
It is not hitting you.
In the southern hemisphere.
Yes.
That's where it's at.
So it's a reflection of my mind?
No. The sun is there. You're seeing light. But that's what you're seeing. It's just like turning on a light bulb.
But you feel but when you're sitting in the car, if you don't have your car on.
Do you feel the warmth from your light bulb in your house when you turn it on?
No, but you can feel the warmth from the sun.
Okay.
In the wintertime.
The windshield in your car acts as a magnifying glass.
Exactly. It does what the atmosphere is not doing because of the angle now.
It collects and focuses that energy inside your car, and it also, because it traps the heat once it's in there.
Didn't you play with a magnifying glass when you were little?
Yeah, and I tried to turn everything
on.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, you had to turn that glass just right to concentrate that light in a pinpoint, on the whatever you wanted to set on fire. Well, that's exactly what's going on.
It would be one year round. I mean, until the Earth rotates on its axis and you're down where the southern hemisphere is now. So I think the Gulf Stream, along with that, is why it fluctuates from 45 one day down to 1 like it is now there.
It's the tilt of the axis of the Earth is what it is.
But here's where he's at.
Saying the Earth is tilted
at
El Nino. Today, so that's why last
week. Blowing in warm weather from the Gulf, the southern hemisphere, where sometimes we get a warm winter.
Well, that's called global warming.
No, that's not global warming. That's El Nino, which we sometimes will get.
No, that's global warming.
Because sometimes it'll be 60, 70 degrees up here in the wintertime. That has nothing to do with global warming. It's got to do with...
And you're still spent, and the Earth is still spent on the same axis.
That's what I said, global warming.
It can blow some hot air up here, and we'll be warm for a couple of days. No, I don't like Al Gore, and I never liked Al Gore.
You just don't like Al Gore and don't want to give him no credit for global
warming. No, I don't.
I can feel the warmth from the globe.
Yeah.
Hey, again, the number is 347-945-522 tonight. It is open mic today. Hey, Diva, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
Tell Jeff our mics are great.
Oh, I forgot that.
We have really good mics, Jeff.
Diva acts like she's not here, but she is. She's sitting in the chat room in the wings. Hey, again, number 347. What else is going on? Jeff, what are you doing here today? You get my days confused. I'm glad to see you.
I didn't think... Sticks had got back yet.
Yeah.
He came back walking.
He walked back.
No, I didn't walk.
Almost
didn't get out of the state.
You hitchhiked.
I found out TSA has no sense of humor when they find a half a dozen 45 shells in your carry-on.
Absolutely not. No.
I almost choked Sticks. Stop.
No. They didn't say hey, listen, they take my cologne. I don't know why you're playing. I get so mad at them, I quit. I try to go there through their naked. One day they had me I had so many bells and right now the actual scanners now are much better than they were when they first started.
Mm-hmm.
I just started to take off my clothes and just go naked. See you so you could see it all. It was bad.
I went through that scanner and they found, I don't know, there must have been a little piece of metal in my sock or something, because
why is that metal in your sock?
It was like up above my ankle. I don't know where I don't know what it was or where it came from. They had to pat me down.
Ooh.
There was something else I wanted to talk about. I'll wait.
Because
I got to talk about New York City.
What, about the blizzard or about the fact that Cuomo doesn't want any conservatives in New York?
A little bit of both. I got to talk about Cuomo, New York City, and the New York City mayor. And then today is, right now, the Right to Life Day.
Yeah.
Right to Life Day. So I got to bring that into the equation.
Well, I want to talk about the president and pot.
What's wrong with the president drink smoking pot?
Well, why? He's got the bully pulpit.
So?
Why would he statement like that when whether pot's legal or not, it's going to keep people from getting jobs? Because our daughter and son-in-law live 2.5 hours from the Colorado border. Every mining company in the Powder River Basin, once they passed that law in Colorado, sent a letter to their employees saying,
don't smoke pot.
Right. We don't care if it's legal or not. We're still going to pre-employment test. We're still going to random test. And if you get hurt, we're going to test. And if you're found, if you pop positive, you're done. So what the president's doing is he's promoting people making themselves unemployable.
The world is really wacky right now. I mean, you've got a president who is talking about his numbers going down because of the color of his skin. You got a president who tells people, you know, smoking pot is no biggie, just like drinking beer. You've got a black U.S. United States senator who's being demonized for being where he is, talking about he's Uncle Tom, he doesn't have a mind of his own.
Wait a minute, Tim Scott.
Yeah, go look it up.
I will.
Go look it up. You got a GOP candidate calling for the execution of, so they say, the execution of Barack Obama. You got kids who can't go to school when it's cold because they got parents who won't put them in warm clothes. So that's why they're not going.
Mm-hmm. Well,
our parents made sure that we had hats, gloves, clothes. We were completely dressed.
But did your school bus driver take the bus home, keep it at his house?
No.
Okay. See, mine did.
We had a lot.
We had a bus driver.
Turn your mic on.
Tracy, I wanted to interject something about the whole Cuomo thing, comment he made. One of the things I found interesting was that, you know, I like the guy, Adrian Rogers, comes on, you know, Faith Radio. I listen to him. He made a comment about Sodom, and I just found it real interesting. He was just like, the reason Sodom was judged was because not only were they sinful, they were proud of it. They were proud of their homosexuality, like kind of like how a lot of people are. So I
like
think
America.
All the conservatives need to – yeah, and I think all the conservatives need to leave all the job people that feel like, okay, I don't feel like I should pay for the next person to sit on their behind forever. Then I feel like they should leave and let it just – because I don't think this country split like that, and all the people that feel a certain way leave. People that feel that way can't take care of themselves. They just don't know it yet. They really can't. Like, they think it's just unimaginable amounts of money. States can't print money. So a lot of these states that think like this, if they lose the job, which they probably won't lose the crooked, you know, Wall Street people because they don't pay nothing anyway, but the rest of the people that create jobs and stuff like that in the state of New York, they need to leave. I think people don't understand number pain, and people got to suffer. For him to say something stupid like that, he doesn't understand where his tax base really, a lot of money really comes from. That's just a dumb statement. He's a product of our education system. And he made it to governor.
He's not a product of our education system. That's the whole thing.
Did you? I mean,
who?
Cuomo.
Cuomo.
Did you read Glenn Beck's open letter?
No.
Even if he's out of the league, he's still a product.
Well, let's put it like this: you're misunderstanding him, because it has nothing to do with his education. It has to do with his ideology.
Jeff, but I don't know, because you know what? I talked to some people in the last 24 hours, and I was asking them about their children, and they said that they raised their children conservative and to think for themselves, but they went to these Ivy Leagues.
They went to school.
They went to school.
Yeah, yeah.
And they came back
crazy.
Completely
screwed up.
Changed.
Screwed
crazy.
Up.
Yeah.
Because, see, people don't understand that these people, the progressives, are not regular good old people. They are people with a aim and a goal. And their aim and their goal is one world government, and for there to be one world government, they have to control you.
Listen to this. I'll wait until I take a break. I've just got some issues today. I'm really running on issues.
Well, I will say that our daughter, when she went to college, she found out that the engineering department was very conservative, because those people deal in facts.
That was at the school that she's in.
But if you went downtown to where the liberal arts stuff was, they were all extremely liberal.
It depends on the school that you go to more than the discipline that you take.
I don't know. I mean, when I was at Stark State over here in Canton, I noticed it too. If you went into the English department, there was liberal stuff on the bulletin boards, but all the engineers seemed like they were conservative. And I think it's because people who are engineering deal in reality.
I disagree.
So they have to be conservative.
I disagree.
On average.
Maybe so, but I don't. I think it's the school.
Engineering?
Yeah, I think it's the intake.
They're more disciplined than anybody, and so therefore that's what makes them more conservative. They have to have a disciplined mind. They can't have a screwed up mind that thinks crazy stuff that doesn't add up. They always have to. They want to add up. Okay. So by and large, not all the time, of course, but by and large, your engineering people, technical people like that, will be very, very, very conservative, whether they believe in a God or not.
Yeah.
Because many of them don't.
That's true.
But they do believe in natural order, most of them.
The number is 347-945-5229. 212, your mic's back on. Diva, your mic is on also. Okay. But I was bringing this up. I'm just reading. I'm going to play this. Check this out. Tim Scott, who is the senator from South Carolina, someone came out and decided to call him a ventriloquist.
Actually, he was my mother and father-in-law's congressman. They really like him.
A lot of people like
him. And what's funny is his congressional district is a very affluent, when he was a congressman, his congressional district was a very affluent district.
After an influential leader in the NAACP slams the only African-American Republican currently serving in the U.S. Senate. Reverend William Barber saying this about South Carolina Senator Tim Scott.
I gotta stop this. He said the only African American conservative.
He's the only.
Hold on. The only African American conservative serving in the United States State Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a lot of Democrats.
Does
serving.
Your furnace need repair? Your house need cleaning? Or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen?
I'm sorry.
We're breaking.
No, we're not breaking. I mean, think about
down
it.
Down here in South Carolina, finds a black guy to be senator. And claims he's the first black senator since Reconstruction. And then he goes to Washington, D.C. and articulates the agenda of the Tea Party. Now in a Kelly Powell exclusive, Senator Scott is here to respond. Senator, good of you to be here. And I just want to tell you that the NAACP has responded to us in part on these comments. Just tonight before we came to air, I want to read you in part how they have responded. There is no apology. I'll start with that. They say, speaking of Dr. Martin Luther King, that Dr. King emphasized love and justice rather than extremism. Unless we stand for justice, we cannot claim allegiance to or pay homage to Dr. King, period. In a state such as South Carolina, politicians, whether they be black or white, should not be echoing the position of the far right. So there you have it. You should not be echoing that position, and the NAACP has pronounced it as such. Your thoughts?
Pretty remarkable and absolutely ridiculous. Here's what we should be thinking about, Megan. Think about the fact that since the last 5.5 years, we've seen 7 million more Americans fall into poverty. Instead of looking for an agenda of opportunity, what we're hearing is baseless rhetoric about the same old things that have not worked so far. And so for him to attack me, it's as if you have conservative principles, conservative ideas that actually work, why bother to even try those? We've had a 50-year war led by the government on poverty, and it hasn't taken those who are living in poverty out. As you walk through the restaurants, if you ride the local bus, we find people that are trapped and stuck in poverty. And
but,
instead
they say,
of having
but they say that's,
the conversation,
that's the fault of the far right, and that's why they're going after you. I mean, and
Megan,
with the name-calling, that you're a dummy, that you're a ventriloquist dummy because you believe in conservative positions.
Well, I did almost flunk out of high school, so I certainly understand why people would have some kind of opinion that suggests that we're not as smart on the right. But here's what happened when you almost flunk out of high school. You meet a mentor, Chick-fil-A guy, who teaches that you can think out of your way out of poverty. That, in fact, the best and brightest opportunities aren't found by looking for the government to bring it to you, but it's found by looking in the mirror and blaming yourself if you don't succeed. If you've been given the God-given talents and skills to work. And if you do so, this country rewards you with amazing opportunity, outstanding success, and what we should be preaching all over the country. I spoke at 2 HBCUs today. We should be preaching the fact that in this country, conservatism, free markets, and capitalism produces greater success, easier results than the government could ever do. We've
why,
never heard
why
the government
do you think
have
they
a
have
conversation
this position?
About
I'm short on time, but I want to ask you. The NAACP seems to stand up for the rights of African Americans, but only liberal ones.
Well, that's the key. We're not talking any longer about standing up for the rights of a racial minority. We're now talking about finding a way to have a conversation about philosophical bigotry. This is a brand spanking new day because there is a major threat coming from the right, and it's not moving further to the right. It's actually having a conversation where we embrace people who are in need and in trouble, and we show people, as I was shown, the path forward using basic common sense principles that govern the actual economy. And that's where you create a job, you make more money, you make a profit, you can use that profit to create wealth. These are basic, simple principles that are taught every single day in the workforce. And
well,
we're not having that conversation.
I haven't seen any apologies.
Just thought I wanted to play that because I've got, when I come back from my break after the top of the hour, there's another clip from a teacher who was receiving an award on Martin Luther King Day, and she refused to receive it from Paul Ryan. Or I'm sorry, he refused to receive it from Paul Ryan.
Why?
I have to go and pull it up.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, look at what's going on here.
He's right. It's ideology now. It's no longer, you know, Limbaugh calls that the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Liberal.
But see, my question is, they're a 501c3 nonpartisan group, and we follow them like sheep to the slaughter. Urban League, like sheep to the slaughter, and not you,
not Jeffrey,
because I don't follow well, never have.
Could I interject something? A guy like that is a problem because he's well spoken, he's black, and he can probably get 35% of the black vote. He can really bust up the stranglehold that they have. That they got to destroy, and they got to. They hate because people like that don't exist. They're like leprechauns. Imagine he's a unicorn. He just does not exist. So when a guy like that comes out, well spoken, can talk, they have to give these names. He hates black people. He hates his own people. He's a sellout. Otherwise,
they're afraid of it.
If they don't, and these guys actually speak, then it's a problem.
Yeah, see,
he comes
from a wealthy white. His congressional district was wealthy white. Yeah. And he's not a career politician either. He was my mother and father-in-law's insurance agent.
But my question is, what in the world are we thinking? I think the most profound thing he said, you can think your way out of poverty.
Right, and that's
so
true.
So if I cause you not to think, how are you going to come out?
You ain't never going to get out of poverty.
So why is it that we're causing people not to think, and then we're embracing people who keep us from not thinking?
I don't know, but they've used you as the test subject, and now they've moved it into the rest of us.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
The reason there's not going to be a middle class anymore.
Because they've been practicing on black folks for a long time.
You're right. And the reason there's not going to be a middle class anymore is because those who can think will become rich, and those who can't think will move from growing up in a middle class household to being poor.
Can I make a point real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
I want everybody to think about the housing projects in the black community. Notice how for years they all look the same, same makeup, same layout. Now look at the more modern-day white suburban developments. Notice that the houses may be big, spacious, and expensive, but they all look the same.
I got a question.
They look like the Stepford Wives, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all look the same.
I got a question for you, though. How come every public housing project is fenced?
Yeah.
Is there a subliminal message to keep the crime contained?
Goody Mob used to say that. Goody Mob had a song saying the same thing.
Yep. You said that?
Goody Mob?
Goody Mob, Soul Food album. That's one of my favorite albums of all time, top five.
Yeah, it's not to keep the crime out, it's to keep the crime in.
Yeah, I wonder if the gate was put up to keep crime out or keep out being like that. So I love it, though.
I've never heard of Goody Mob.
Somebody said the radio song.
It's called what was the name of that song? Sail Therapy.
Pile.
Use that as your next bump of music. Sail Therapy.
What is it?
Listen to the words.
What is the name of the song?
Cell Therapy.
Cell Therapy.
By Goody Mob.
You know what Goody, y'all don't understand. You with your southern accent, I'm still trying to find out how you spell Mob.
M-O-B. Goody. G-O-O-D-I-E. Yeah,
City Mall.
Oh,
it sounds like
CeeLo
Green's
original group. The group that CeeLo Green came out of. Do it sound better now?
Yeah, now I know what that means.
Yeah, Goody Mobs, Cell Therapy is the name of the song, and yeah, that's a classic. That's one of the greatest albums ever made, to me. I mean, they can't top that. That's up there in my book.
I'm going to take a break right now. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5210. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
There you go. That's it.
You like that Alabama
team? Oh, I grew up on that one, man.
But he
they take me back right there.
Mm-hmm.
WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. There have been lots of fender benders in this season's back-to-back winter storm. How you fare in car crashes depends a lot on the size of your vehicle, according to the latest crash test. ABC's Scott Goldberg takes a look.
This is what a slight overlap test crash sounds like. The front corner of a car moving 40 miles an hour hits something that's not moving. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says many cars like the Honda Fit didn't perform very well.
The structure pretty much collapsed around the driver. The steering column moved back and away from the driver. And the driver's head slid off the airbag and struck the instrument panel directly.
For kids riding along, the government's expected to propose new regulations for child car seats, making them safer inside impact crashes. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Syrian activists are reporting clashes in different parts of Syria as a peace conference to end the three-year civil war began in Switzerland today. Some Olympic parents are deciding to cheer on their athletes from home due to the recent terror threats in Russia, but others, like Pierre Lamoureux, the father of two members of the U.S. women's hockey team, wouldn't miss it for the world.
The team will be very well protected. They're in an Olympic village, which is very, very difficult to get into, even as parents. You got to have so many passes and go through so much security.
It's not a day for sightseeing in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where sub-zero wind chills are adding to the bite of a winter storm. ABC's Gio Benitez is there.
On Cape Cod and here in Plymouth, this area is still seeing those blizzard warnings. Let me tell you, when you're out here, you're feeling this blizzard.
Surf's up in Hawaii. Monster waves. 40 to 50 feet tall. That's brought out the big wave surfers.
These are the kind of things that we wait for and we pray for.
This is ABC News.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This could cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-390-9323 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-390-9323. Call 800-390-9323. That's 800-390-9323. Again, 800-390-9323.
Spanx continues to be one of the most popular shapewear companies in the world, but doctors are sounding the alarm about possible health hazards. ABC's Karen Chase with a story. Women should think twice before wiggling their way into Spanx, although many wouldn't leave the house without them.
Spanx makes me feel confident. It makes me feel comfortable.
But while ladies love the way they look,
absolutely love it,
doctors warn they may be squeezing themselves sick. Consumer Reports says the shapewear can cause digestive and circulatory problems. And while they make you look good,
made everything just fit perfect.
The price to pay for a slimmer silhouette may be numbness, shortness of breath, and bad posture. Karen Chase, ABC News. Two sisters have received lung transplants from the same donor, 71-year-old Irma Meyer Santana, and her younger sister, 69-year-old Anna Williamson, each received one lung from the same donor at Houston Methodist Hospital. Doctors say it's a first for their facility. It took months for the sisters to decide who went first. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Lowe's today.
Okay, you're a homeowner and you're behind on your monthly mortgage payments. Well, guess what? You are not alone. So what are your options? Lose your home? Or how about trust the bank that puts you in this position to help you get out of it? Okay, really? Well, if your situation is bad, you have nothing to lose at this point. So take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-213-6981. When you call the Foreclosure Defense Network, they will give you information that can stop your home from going into foreclosure. Information that can even get your home out of foreclosure. They can even lower your monthly mortgage payment and get rid of all your unsecured debt. And here's the best part. There's no fees if they can't help you. Make the call. 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981. The consultation is free. The programs are real. Don't lose your home. Call the Foreclosure Defense Network today. 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the East Coast. And I got Jeff in Sticks and City with me. Today is Wednesday, and so you know it's when the country meets the city. And we've got Eric, who's out of Warren. He's here on the line. And Diva's out there being quiet, so it's a good thing. And I've got a caller I'm going to pull up that's called locally. And if you want to call locally, that number is 330-781-9600. And I want to thank on Alabama and Eric for bringing up the Goody Mob. I had never heard of it because that's not my genre of choice at all. And
oh, yeah,
I had no idea that CeeLo Green came out of there. What did you say, Eric?
That song's 20 years old.
And, yep. I know I was only two at the time, so maybe that's why I don't know it.
other than his religious beliefs, the one that I was a fan of was KRS-One.
Yeah, he was deep.
He was very deep.
Now I'm not a rap person, but there was something that I took out of them. He said, you know, they had a little vamp line going through there talking about who's looking through the window.
That's
and
the
that
government.
Really caught
He's talking
my
about
attention.
The government. He's talking about the government.
Yes. The question is, they sing all these songs. Why is it that they don't pay attention to when the government's looking in the window and what they're doing to them with these programming and how they're programming them through the program, yet they sing about the songs they don't like about them, but they come and they endorse and they subscribe to?
The people that create the conditions. I agree.
I mean, it's almost like it's like a battered wife.
Mm-hmm. It's like when he said they claim the community is drug-free, but it don't look that way to me. That's, you know, look at most projects, they have a sign that says this community is drug-free. It's like, really?
They do. They really. Or you pass by a school and it says a drug-free
school,
drug-free zone.
Yeah.
And you got a dope house across the street.
Yeah. Well.
What are you laughing at, Jeff?
Your girl Diva and on my Facebook yesterday. Do you know who Anat Hentoff is?
No.
80-year-old veteran writer. He's an extremely left-wing liberal, and he's saying that Obama needs to be impeached, and because of his, you know, how he's overusing his power, and one of these guys said. He may be what was it? I can't think of that quote. I gotta read it because it's so ridiculous. He may be a Democrat, but he's no liberal. This cat is the father of liberals, liberal journalists.
No.
And you have I just can't get over this stuff. I mean,
why?
I can't get over it. Can you just really believe that somebody? Mm-hmm. Could take the icon of
some of my closest
liberals?
Yeah, some of my closest friends think this way. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, they write about it. The NAACP, let's really understand this. They're going to already have the Image Award. And they're going to celebrate being black. And all they are is acorn for black folks for the Democrat Party.
Yeah, anytime you get a black conservative, they're demonized, and I mean, you guys take it on the chin. I think it's crabs in a bucket.
No,
I don't think they can stand. I don't think the group can stand the thought of anybody not conforming.
No, because remember, liberal money's good, conservative money's bad.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to understand that. I mean, I'm on my way to Columbus last week. I watched a Magic Johnson. Did a PSA for the Affordable Health Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll pull it up. And he says if it had not been for affordable health care, he'd be dead by today.
Oh, come on.
Right. He went over affordable health care.
If I saw him, I'd jump up and smack him, and he'd just have to kill me after that for lying
that
like big. That.
What'd you say, Eric?
He went over to France and got all that great health care that he paid out of his own pocket for his HIV.
No, that's not what he said. What he said was affordable health care. Now you have to understand, he was one word short to make it legal. Because he said affordable health care.
Which is true.
He
it was affordable for him.
Health care he could afford. But he
had AIDS, right?
Yeah, he's HIV positive. He's not AIDS. HIV. That's the difference.
And he went on some.
Doesn't matter. He went through a whole lot.
And he spent a whole lot of money.
Affordable health care that he could afford. But in the PSA, he says, if it had not been for affordable health care, I'm not going to mention act, I'd be dead today.
Right.
Well, if he kept his pants on, he read the word up here
yesterday. See, now, there you go. And wait a minute, I want you guys to all know, I told him, face-to-face, in the form club, I told Magic if he didn't keep his winky in his pocket, he was going to catch something he couldn't wash off. Because I'm serious.
I believe you told him that.
I did. I'm telling you guys, you have no idea. And this, and young ladies, women, y'all need to slow your roll. I would go out with these guys, and these guys would come home with a pocket full of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls would just come up to them and put the number down on a piece of paper with a little note. And the guys would just put them in their pocket. And they would have pockets full of numbers because those were throwing it at them.
Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
Tracy.
And men are not smart. Yes, Aaron? Or is that Alabama?
It's Alabama. Yeah, you,
yes,
you move
sir.
So fast.
They're really good at things.
What do you mean I move fast? Hey, Eric, I'm sorry. Alabama, something's wrong with your
yeah,
mic. I can't hear you at all.
Better.
Yes, what are you doing?
Yes. Anyway, I mean, I have my headphones on at work. But anyway, the Gritty Mob, before CeeLo Green got that deal, they were kind of like just regular round-the-way guys, and they were talking like that. CeeLo Green is mainstream now, and a lot of these rappers, like when they blow up, they come out and they talk like this, but then when you get mainstream, a lot of stuff, they feed into the system at that point. Kind of like Jay-Z and Kanye West. They, you know, Jay-Z's naming his daughter Blue Ivy, but he swear he's not in it. So, but that's another situation. But, CeeLo and all them, they weren't like that when they dropped their first. Well, he wasn't. CeeLo wasn't at the time. He got a song where he goes on a rant. He said, I ain't writing no verse for this one. Just hold on, let me holler at him for a minute. He starts talking, man, it's a powerful album. You need to listen to the whole album.
So my question is, why is it when you get to the place where you can make systemic change, you change instead of you changing where you're going?
I mean, because he got bills, I guess. That's why he got on, he on the voice now. He completely different now.
I got bills.
Hanging in my pocket.
Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, Miss Tracy. This is Steve now.
Hi, Steve.
Oh, sorry, did I say Happy New Year to you?
Yeah, you did, I think.
Hey, how you doing there, Jeff?
Hey!
Miss Tracy, you used to have ministers come on your show. Will you have ministers coming on your show again in the future?
I don't know. I might have one or two.
Because, I mean,
you miss
you
that, huh?
Talk about the Bible.
A lot.
Away from that.
We still do. But remember, Steve.
Oh,
but remember, I was on a. Remember,
radio
remember what time was I on, Steve?
We were on it.
What time did I start?
8 o'clock in the
morning. No, I didn't. I started at 7. And when you do 7 o'clock, it's like Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey's on from 6 a.m. until 10, I believe. In his first 15 minutes.
I thought you came on here at 8 o'clock.
I came on at 7, sweetie. But this is not the conversation of the day. Okay. What?
Is he gone?
Yes, he's gone.
Oh, Steve's gone.
And then people need to understand.
Why does he hang up so quick?
I don't know. You have to understand, when you talk about day parts do different things.
Mm-hmm.
And in radio, so people understand, in radio or in television, you don't find soap operas on at midnight, and you don't find Jay Leno on in the afternoon.
That's on the soap replay.
Well, that's something different.
Yeah.
And so you have to understand that when you're on in the morning, you can do more of a – and the earlier you are, the more devotional you can become. And as you work through the day, you work through the day as you work through the day. So every day part of radio has to change with the personality of the day. So I want to get that out. Matt, how are you this morning? Good morning.
I'm cold, Tracy. How are you?
I'm cold.
I got to, you know, I took my dog out this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. It took 6 steps into the yard and was crippled. That's how cold it is. It looked like he got shot.
How should I do this? My dog did. She did the same thing. She went out there and she said, this is not the place for me to go. I'll be right back.
All right. I'll be cleaning up messes till about 8 o'clock this evening in the house.
You guys need beagles. Beagles love cold weather.
Yeah,
but they don't move.
Yeah, they do. You're thinking of bassets, not beagles.
Beagles.
Beagles are hyperactive.
Those are hunting dogs.
Yeah, beagles are almost as hyperactive as your Jack Russell.
Oh my.
Wimmerwiners, what are those?
Wimmeringers? But those are Wimmeringers. Those are bigger dogs.
The San Antonio used to have one.
Wimmeringer.
Yeah.
Those are beautiful dogs.
I loved her dog.
Those are beautiful dogs.
Daughter and a son-in-law just got a sheep-a-doodle.
What's a sheep-a-doodle?
Half sheep dog, half poodle.
Oh.
Standard poodle. It's 53 pounds and 6 more pounds.
You know, I don't understand all these dogs with the doodles and the all. You know, you see a lot of these. I've never heard of these breeds before.
They crossbreed a lot of dogs with poodle because then they don't have the dander problem and they don't shed.
Well, isn't crossbreeding just a fancy name for my dog got out of the house and mated with my neighbor's dog?
No, this is
designer mutting.
Yeah, this is designer mutting. Absolutely.
So you got a mutt. But this is designer mutt.
See, like a golden doodle. A golden doodle.
A golden doodle. Here we go. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a golden retriever and a poodle, and they don't shed, but they still hold. But they still keep the retriever abilities.
And a retriever is a beautiful dog, but they shed so bad.
Right.
Oh, my.
And just like this sheepdog cross, he still retains the sheepdog, because my daughter's got a beagle and the sheepadoodle, and the sheepadoodle is... spends its time herding the beagle around a yard.
Hey, listen, I hate to do this to you with the doodles and the dogs, but I need to change the subject again. I've got to go back to politics, and I'm sorry. Here locally in the Mahoning Valley, we have a House seat.
State House seat
that is going to be up for election.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who has been there has been in office and has been political office, one office or another, for the last 23 years.
20-something years, right.
And he is now term limited out. So now his wife has decided she's going to run and take on a different platform than him. And the House Congressional Caucus, the Democrat Caucus,
mm-hmm.
down in Columbus, Ohio, now the date of filing... there's a filing deadline of February the 5th.
2014.
So this upcoming February, next month, is a filing deadline for you to file if you want to seek office. Somehow this congressional seat has decided, or this congressional caucus in the state house,
mm-hmm.
has decided to endorse before the end of the filing
mm-hmm.
for the person who's the wife of the sitting state rep. And I just have to throw this out here before I forget. Do you see the game that they're playing on you?
Wait, tell them why this is important, though. The two people that they endorsed and did not even consider, did not interview, did not pass go, collect $200, mm-hmm. did not get out of jail free, are two black Democrat females.
Who are tied to the party
tied.
What they want to call it, like a moth to a, let me do it, Janet Jackson, like a moth to the flame.
Is it a fire?
I'm a Democrat, don't you see my desire? That's what I'm saying. They're tied to the party.
That's the way politics goes.
Love
goes.
I'm gonna write that one.
You gotta write that one.
I got it.
Like
got
a moth to the flame. They're tied to the party. Yet
the
caucus
has
already
goes.
Told that's the way love goes.
Yep.
That's
you're a Democrat
the way.
It is.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, now.
we personally know these people, all of them, and I'm not saying that the people, the lady just running, or her husband, did anything that is racist. But I'm going to say this. Where is the Congressional Black Caucus at in this?
Where are they at? Hold on. Wait a minute. You got to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Buckwheat.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
What? Your mama's a cripple.
But you have to stand. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If this just went over your head, we're really believing.
We got all the prejudiced people in our party. They
That's
could
right.
not be racist.
That's right.
These people have to be flawed beyond compare. That they didn't consider, because there's no such thing as racism.
Not in the Democratic Party.
Where's the NAACP on that one? How come they're not outraged?
Oh, no. What you mean?
What do you mean, the NAACP? Don't you understand? The only races in America are Republicans.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Go to break, please.
Do you not understand this?
Go to break.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
My love is blind. Can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley, and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Do you depend on your computer?
I'm so excited. Charlie Safe Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Safe Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Safe Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com. Or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Thank you.
like a moth to the flame. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. This is how people are with the Democrat Party. It don't matter. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Yeah, Jeff.
If it hadn't been that we just came off a whole year of them playing them about black candidates running for the mayor of Youngstown, if it hadn't been that, and I was telling them, they're playing you. They're not. Nobody can possibly win this race because y'all playing. And then, you know, then there was, you know, winky sizing and all of this other stuff at the end and just really messed everything up. But no, you can't win because they play you like a fiddle and you playing games.
What game? This is how we roll. This is how we roll.
And here's the game people play, y'all.
Hey, Matt.
But you've been a black conservative in South Carolina.
He's a ventriloquist.
And
no, they won't support
him.
Oh, no.
Well, hey,
It's hilarious.
He's Uncle Tom.
Yes, South Carolina, your mic is on.
Well, actually, I read that on the website, and I found it very, very, very interesting. And, I mean, I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? So, I don't know what to say. It's crazy.
Find it.
It's not on my end.
South Carolina, I think that's Eric. Eric, you're something in the background is scratching. South Carolina, you sound like me. It wasn't me. It wasn't you.
But seriously, though, I read that online, you know, because actually Abe Diva had put it up on Facebook, and it left me scratching my head. I didn't know it was two black females, but man, oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about being played like a fiddle.
That's what, like a moth to the flame. I mean, and they keep on coming back. They just keep on coming back. They keep on walking into it. They just love it. And I don't understand.
So what are they going to do about it? Are they going to protest, or are they just left out in the cold? Because apparently
can you say
now
it's cold outside?
They can't get any money.
Can you say it's cold outside?
Yeah, like maybe it's cold outside, you know.
That's
but,
what I'm saying.
Okay.
And so you ask, what are they going to do?
Yeah, what are they
that's
going
the
to
question.
Do?
I mean, I don't know. I pray that they will wake up and smell the coffee. They will find a way.
Now, what wasn't said was the fact is that the person that they did endorse, are they white?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. You got to be kidding me.
Blatant. And guess what?
I want you to understand. They endorsed this person before they even knew who was running.
Yeah,
they didn't even walk through
the process of finding out. They didn't endorse him. They anointed him.
and it happens to be their boy's wife. I mean, they didn't even. Mm. I mean, sometimes you just got to do the dating game thing and you know, interview everybody, even if you know you ain't gonna go. But once. But sometimes you need to play the game and just interview everybody and act like you're gonna give them a shot.
Well,
but when you don't even, when you say Matt,
that's the new tactic, though, Tracy. It's not that we haven't seen it before. I mean, we passed a bill to see what was in it. Okay, this is what they do now. Whoever carries the name, whoever carries the label is the one, whether they know who it is or what it is, that's the one that gets in. And that's all there is to it. There's no substance anymore.
Doc, it does not matter who is in this race. It's a Democrat district, and it's going to go for the Democrat. So would you put a pink Democrat up there, a black, white, purple, a mongoose, whatever you put up there, that's who's going to win the race. This is ridiculous. This is the highest form of racism, but you can't get the people from the party to say it. Because one of my greatest detractors on my page spent all day, I wouldn't let him put nothing else on my Facebook page till he answered the question of whether this was racism or not. And then he used my line that there's racist in all parties. I said, but you don't believe that. You don't believe that.
Oh, but I got a dummy down here in South Carolina, right?
You got a very intelligent guy down there, and thank God. I hope that you guys win. You know, again with that.
What do you say? The number is 347-945-5229. I just want everybody to know how confused I am about that.
Yes. It's different when you're a Democrat.
And that's not different. We just need to open up our eyes to see how you get played. Hey, local, call, your mic is on. Hello?
Oh, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Ms. Tracy, I wanted to get back on what Jeff was saying.
About what?
He was saying that President Obama,
Steve, we were talking about the local party Democrat and why we keep endorsing them when they keep on punking us.
Well, you make a good question on that, Mr.
That's the question. Why do we keep on supporting them and they punk us every time?
Well, I mean, personally, myself, I'll be honest with you, I don't like the governor because, number one, I don't like the idea that this state is going to, if he gets back in office, that he's going to cause this state to become a right-to-work state, because I'm for the unions. I wish that I know that many people might say the unions might be the cause, reason why a lot of our jobs left this country here. But the unions,
Steve,
did play a good part.
Steve, the question is, why do we keep on getting punked? You got to understand, as people, it's like going back to your ex-husband and he keeps on beating you and he keeps on telling you that he loves you after you go to the hospital. Why do people do that?
Because we believe that the Democratic Party has always been for our interests.
So my question is, when you find out that he's beating the crap out of you, why do you keep on going back home to him?
Because we don't see... We don't see the Republican Party before our interests. We see the Republican
You don't even
Party.
Look. You look at what the news tells you to look at, and that's what you believe. When is the last time any of you have decided to sit down, meet with, caucus with, entertain, and or find out what the Republican Party will do for you? You haven't even asked. That's because some Democrat told y'all they're going to put y'all back in chains. Just being stupid. We always want to have an excuse.
Which was a racist comment to begin with, but I won't even get into that.
It was, and it still is. They've got young men down in South Carolina right now. We want to scream about Martin Luther King on this past Monday about how we love him and what he did for us, and oh, my God, he's the greatest man in the world, yet he said we ought to judge a man by the content of his character and by the color of his skin, and we've turned our politics into our religion. We have lost our minds, and we wonder why we can't get ahead in America. And I ain't talking about just black people. That includes you too, Sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Yes, ma'am.
You too.
Oh, I know it.
It's really, really sad that we have marginalized ourselves down to this.
Mm-hmm.
And Sticks, I think you said earlier in the program, and we've talked about this before, how they use the African Americans as a pilot program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought about it until that lady Rosa that we had
She came on here.
And she said that. And she's right.
They've been studying black folks enough, and now they're doing it across the country.
Everything from drugs to the housing projects has all been,
Absolutely.
They tried out on black people. And then it works on black people. They move it on to the white communities.
Because they know people are people.
The saddest thing is one of the quickest ways out of poverty is to have a stable marriage and not have children out of wedlock. And something I just saw the other day, something like 70% of African American children are born out of wedlock now.
And it used to be 30% back 50 years ago.
Right.
Well, what'd you say, South Carolina?
I've been saying it for years. We've been the control group. We are the control group for the great experiment.
Absolutely. So the question is, mm-hmm. when do you stop being the control group and start being in control of you?
Yeah,
I'm
like,
curious.
Like I said, 40 years ago, it was 30%. 40 years ago, it was 30% of black kids out of wedlock. You know.
So since we had the Great Society and the War on Poverty, all we've done is a slide back into more poverty. And I got to go back to what Tim Scott said. Tim Scott said you need to think your way out of poverty. So why is it that we're not thinking? Finding innovative ways to make things happen and becoming so enraged in our own selves that we become greater than what we are.
Well, one of the guys also said about Tim Scott, he questioned, where was the NAACP when I was failing out of high school? And he almost failed out of high school. Where were they? So, you know, my question is, if Tim Scott is a dummy and the Republican Party are the ventriloquists, then there's a heck of a lot of dummies out there working for the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm. They don't Go ahead.
And why won't the NAACP, how come they won't reach out to black conservatives and say, how can we work
together
to improve our community?
Because they are already, remember, I said this, and I've said this since the beginning of time, they are paid to do what they do. See, you can't fight the person who feeds you. You can't go back and
fight
them.
You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
And remember, it's not like you're funding your own self. They fund it and they control it, and you have to understand they sell you every day. Just because the auction block doesn't have you standing on there and them opening up your mouth and looking down your throat and to see how your teeth are like a horse doesn't mean that you're not being bought and sold and auctioned off every day of your life.
Well, I've said this over and over and over again. The Democrat Party's worst nightmare is a financially independent middle class.
Absolutely. That thinks.
That can think.
That
yes.
thinks.
Because if I don't need you to supply me with anything, I don't need you.
You'll find that they look at who they allow to become wealthy and media people. Remember, they pick and choose the people that they put in front.
Mm-hmm.
If they cannot control them, then you cannot be there. And every time you go to speak out against something that they're passionate about, they marginalize you and cut your throat.
So how did Glenn Beck manage to get around that system?
Because he left the system completely.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
He left the system, but he had gotten enough money before he left the system that he can live on
right.
a marginal basis
right.
to do what he needs to do, and he was smart about it.
Right.
But it's not like they're going to let you go out there and tell people to think.
I agree.
Local call, your mic is on.
How are we doing this morning, Tracy?
Good morning. How are you doing, Mr. Dover?
Just fine. I want to hit on these unions a little bit. Since the man brought them up and he says that they was good, and they were at one time. But when they tell their union members who to vote for, like they told them how to vote for Obama, and then they brought in free trade under Clinton and went for free trade, I called all the unions. I was calling them and tell them, don't do this, you know, because the free trade is what really shipped out the jobs. And they told me, we're looking at the big picture. They thought that they was going to get union members all around the world. And that's
workers of the world unite.
Wrong, and I despise them for that, for free trade, and tell them to vote for who to vote for all the time, which is not people that are for the working people. Clinton was not the friend of the people. He gave away the secrets to China. They've all been doing it, and everything else. So that's where the union went wrong. They should have stayed out of politics. Done a good job, and I've called the union presidents now and told them to call a strike of the longshoremen, truckers, and shut this country down right now. And they won't even do that. They don't have the guts for it anymore.
Let me say this. The unions
don't have it.
And I have to go to the defense of some unions because I'm not against union to organizing and for people having representation. I'm not against it. But what I am against is unions not representing people. And we have to realize that the unions have become big business. They don't. They no longer speak on behalf of its constituents. People need to have people to speak for them if they can't speak for themselves collectively. And I have no problem with people speaking as a collective voice. But when the union no longer is a partner with the employer, but now becomes a liability because of their own greedy and their own gain, then they become a problem. Now, unions have been racist since the inception of them.
Absolutely.
That's nothing new. But because people gave all of their allegiance, just like they did to the union, they give to the government, that's the problem. You don't just let a man take you to the water and you just drink it no matter how dirty the water looks and not ask questions. And what the unions have done is they led people and told them not to think on their own. Don't ask any questions. Just do what I say.
And they've ruined the country because of...
Absolutely. But we're ruining the country the same way with our government. We're ruining the country the same way with our environment. We're not asking any questions. No one wants to know. No one wants to buck up and say, why are we doing it this way?
And if you know what the trade deficit is, that adds on to the national debt, and it's out of sight, too.
I mean,
and we all got to pay. And, of course, they're coming in with their money and buying up the United States, too,
but
the foreigners are.
How many?
This is all disgusting, and we need all new leaders in the union that are American patriots.
But you're not going to have American patriots because we're not raising them. We're not raising our children to become patriots. We don't go to war anymore because we're defending our country. We go to war because we can get a college loan so we can make more money. We go to get away from home. We go to get away from our hometown. We go because we have nowhere else to go.
And making a national debt bigger to take this country right down to the bottom. That's what it's all about. So we will no longer be independent, sovereign. So we fit into the new world order. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot. I love you.
Love talking to you. Bye-bye.
How many black union members do you think know that Davis-Bacon, the act that made the prevailing wage, was done specifically by unions to keep black people in the South from coming up here and going to work?
No, they don't know that.
Not very many.
And if you go to tell them, they're not going to believe it.
No.
Well, I've come to realize that.
You have to understand, unless it comes out of the mouth of the man that I hear, then it's not true.
You know, I always tell people that, especially now that Common Core has been instituted for, you know, a couple years now, I always tell people, if you want to get an idea of what unions do to workers, go find a teacher, any teacher, and don't give them any idea of what you think about Common Core. Just ask them what they think about it and then watch them squirm because they have no idea what to say. They're scared to say it. They were all on board for it when it first hit the books here in Ohio anyway. They were all loving it because they were sold a line of goods. Now they know what it does, and they're afraid to say anything about it because of what the union is doing to them.
Let me say that yesterday I sat on the Board of Elections here in Mahoning County, and yesterday we approved a 3% cost of living increase. And 6 hours later, it was suspended. Because people were asking questions, and because the county is going out for a sales tax renewal and increase. Now, I say it this way. People need to have an incentive to do the job that they do, and they should be paid a cost of living increase when you can do it, especially when you spend money foolishly, like buying a building that's over 100 years old that you can't retrofit, that you keep on sinking money into, and that you'll never be able to dig your way out of. I stand by my decision for taking care of people and not taking care of stupid and bad spending habits and or bad decisions made by other people. We need to understand that if you do the right thing when people are concerned, then you don't have to answer for the questions that come up behind you. What's happening right now is that's why you have unions, because you don't make the right decisions when it comes to people. People need to know that they're cared about. So you have unions. You have political parties that take advantage of you because people don't make the right decisions where it's concerned of people. People are the greatest commodity that we have here in America, in the world. It is the people. It is the blood and the flesh of people that really makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we should treat them with respect and with dignity. And when they come to work, give them a good wage for the job that they do. Lead them. Work with them. But what's going on right now is we want to use them for our own gain, politicize them, and not allow them to be who they are and perfect them.
My very first union president, an old gentleman by the name of Keller Hearn, and he used to say that when a union gets in bed with a political party, the people, the men, the union body suffers.
It's true.
And that's absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth.
And I'm not knocking unions.
No, I'm not either. But the thing is, the shop unions, the trades got it right. But the shop unions need to quit playing in politics and start taking care of their people. If you pay union dues to the United Auto Workers of America for 40 years, it shouldn't matter how many different companies you work for. You should have a United Auto Workers pension.
And let me say this. I'm looking at right now the Valoric, which is a V&M Star.
Mm-hmm.
This morning.
Yo, go ahead. Tell me what happened.
Don't know. It was 8 o'clock, so you have to look it up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They were voting.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Right.
On if they were going to unionize. Now, I pray that they do not unionize because the company has been taking care of them very, very well.
This? Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And so we need to understand. The union doesn't care about you. They care about the public policy and how they're going to push for their agenda and elect their people that don't care about you.
Right. I mean, I remember 20 years ago they paid more money than the union. They were paying more money than the union steel shops in town.
So tell me, why do we keep playing with this and keep manipulating people? So the reason, and I've got to go back to this county thing. So the reason why we're not going to give the people a 3% increase is because we want you to pass a sales tax. And so I'm going to play a game with you. I'm not going to give them a 3% increase until after the sales tax, because if I give them a raise and you think I have money, and then you won't pass a sales tax. Is that not a game? Am I missing something here?
But they do it. I mean, all political entities do it. They do it with
right?
school districts. They
but
do it with school levels.
But is it right?
No, it's not right.
So why do we keep on listening to it and watching them use it as pawns and fodder?
Because people have been able to fool us into thinking that we're owed something. Americans, not all of us, but a large part of us, think that the government owes us. Now, this is what's getting ready to happen. Valoric was getting ready to build another $84 million mill.
Was it million or billion?
I think it was $84 million.
Who?
Or is it eight-something billion?
I thought it was in the billions they wanted to spend.
Okay, yeah, whatever it is, they're going to...
The bridge to nowhere?
No, Valoric.
Oh, Valoric. $80 million. 84 million.
Okay. I was thinking it was over. Okay.
That's what I thought. And they're going to put another mill up. Now, the commercial electrical workers and something like that are trying to organize these people down there at this mill. This is the most ill-advised, asinine time to go and try to organize with the company before they build that last mill.
What'd you say?
If they vote the union in, they won't be here in 5 years. I guarantee you.
So tell me this. Why would we do it? I mean, we know they already pay their employees very well. They already have great benefits. They already have all the safety measures that they need. So are they going in there to unionize them because they need it or because they want their money?
They want the money.
They want their money. They want the money.
So are we – because, I mean, look at what happened with General Electric over in Warren. I've never seen anybody in my life vote themselves out of a job like General Electric did over in Warren.
Yep, and that's going to happen to Valoric too.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not – are we missing something here?
It gives the company a justifiable reason to shut it down when they get ready to.
So why do we do that? And why are we sit here and we go and we keep on going back?
Well – We just let ourselves be misinformed. I mean, none of those that plant, none of that plant expansion would be going on here if it wasn't for the oil and gas industry that's coming into the valley, and you got people want to close that up. How do you fix stupid?
You don't.
And Matt,
your mic is up, Phil. I'm just saying, and in South Carolina, your mic is up also. I just have major problems because we keep on, you know, it's like a hamster on a wheel trying to get somewhere and wonder why we're not going anywhere.
I mean, I can't imagine why anybody out at that plant would vote for a union. They pay good. They have good benefits.
So,
and so now you're going to take 3 or 4% of what I'm making.
Right.
Right. And give it to somebody who's not going to represent you.
And if I get laid off and I go to another steel shop, if I work at four different USWA shops through a 40-year career, I don't get nothing.
Remember you were talking about the Democratic nominee?
Huh?
Remember you were talking about the Democratic nominee that wasn't even vetted?
Yes.
Her husband is going to lead the charge against the oil and gas industry in this area.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
I haven't seen a job producer that man liked.
That's true.
He's in favor of legalizing marijuana, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's his baby.
Well, we talked about that earlier. Why would the president from his bully pulpit encourage people to use, even if it's a legal substance, something that's going to keep them from getting employed? Because none of these companies are going to employ you if you're smoking reefer.
He'll write an executive order to say you must hire all potheads.
You know,
because it ain't no different than alcohol.
Y'all
so you're
wrong.
Saying,
y'all
yeah,
wrong.
But are we truthful?
You know
Jeff,
that's serious. That's what he's going to do.
You're wrong.
You guys are saying he's going to put down the phone and pick up the pen, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Y'all wrong.
Because they all vote for him.
You know, they told my daughter when she took her follicle test, as long as her hair was, they could tell if she'd smoked pot in the last 5 years.
And I want y'all to know, you got hair somewhere even if
that's
you
right.
Shave.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't
go
shaving all your hair off thinking that you're going to get
it. Don't matter.
It don't matter.
They're going to get, yeah, they'll find it. You're right.
Let me tell you a quick story about that that's absolutely true. We had a guy locally in my area who was growing marijuana in his house, and he thought the best idea to dry it out as fast as possible was to put it in his clothes dryer. This is no kidding. He put it in his clothes dryer, and it wafted all over the area. My neighbor behind me, we're about a half mile from this house. We smelled it. He had a drug, and this guy's like 60-some years old. He had a drug test at work about a month and a half later and tested positive. He had to point back to this and go get the police reports and the whole deal to show, you know, and finally they were able to settle it. But I'll tell you what, marijuana, it doesn't matter if you're smoking it or not. If you're just around it in any way, shape, or form, you're screwed.
Well, I mean, I went into the Navy when they first started their drug testing programs. And at that time, they told us, this was in the early 80s, that they actually set minimum levels. And if you get busted, you're definitely not getting a contact high.
I don't know about contact completely. I just know that just say no. And legal drugs are not legal everywhere, so you shouldn't do it. But when you talk about the people that we're talking about, and the mindset of it. The question is, I just want to know why are we following people? Seriously, why are we following people? You got a guy by the name of Tim Scott. We don't follow him because he's a Republican. He's a ventriloquist. He's a sellout. He's an Uncle Tom. He's a dummy.
You can't be a self-made man and be black.
He's all that. But, you know, Herman Cain, 999.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like him because he didn't come from nowhere to somewhere. And he knew
Ken Blackwell.
That's another one. We can go down a list. But then you pull up somebody like Al Sharpton, and you make him he's the spokesperson for all black people.
A Reverend Barber from North Carolina.
Reverend who?
That's the one that was talking bad about Scott Barber, Reverend Barber.
Oh. Barber don't even have a job, does he?
He has an NAACP. Yeah, he's a pastor.
Okay. Let me say this also, and I'm going to go take my break in just a few minutes. today is the anniversary of the death, I think, of Trayvon Martin. And so they want everybody to walk around now with a hoodie in honor of Trayvon Martin. I'm so sorry the boy passed away and got killed by a dingbat. But to walk around with a hoodie on is not a good sign of remembering him. If you want to do something, then tell your young men, don't smoke, don't get high, get an education, be mannerable, pull your pants up, put on a shirt, and go get a job. Because people with jobs...
Then they'll say you're totally abandoning your culture.
Let's talk about culture. Culture is the shaping of one's environment to its own. So we need to start shaping our environment to make it reflective of who we are. Because who we are is not the culture in which they're representing.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day because Diva asked me if I was offended by being called a redneck. And I think what has happened with that word, which was intended as a slur originally, is those of us who are from that background have taken it and made it conform to what our values are.
It's the same thing as the N-word. It's the same thing as the N-word.
But we have taken it and twisted it to be a positive representation of what we are.
It's the same way with the N-word. Have you heard somebody call that's my N-word? It's dual meaning. It's like gay. Gay can be happy and gay can be, you know, homosexual.
But you can use the word redneck. I can't use that other word.
Can't use redneck.
No, I don't use redneck.
You can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Why can't you?
I don't.
Well, you choose not to.
Because it's an offensive term to me. Because if I call you a redneck, I haven't called you something that's not nice. But I haven't found another word to replace the N-word because some things are just the N-word. And until I find a word to replace that, y'all going to have to help me. I need to expand my vocabulary. I like minutia. Minutia is a word that I can use.
Well, if we can say black trash, or excuse me, white trash, can we say black trash?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not allowed to, because you can't say black and trash in the same sentence.
Oh, okay.
You can say nigglet.
No, you can't. You can't say that out loud, South Carolina. I'll be right back.
USOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Joan Bennett. Talks aimed at ending Syria's bloody civil war are underway in Switzerland. ABC's Tom Rivers at the foreign desk.
At the end, for all the cities. The process has commenced. Secretary of State John Kerry.
Today is a beginning. It's the beginning of what will obviously be a tough and complicated negotiation. Peace talks to end a war and to end a struggle like this always are tough.
For his part, Kerry says there's no way Syrian President Assad can be part of any transitional government. Syria's foreign minister sharply counters, that's for Syrians to decide, not Mr. Kerry. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
In Kiev, Ukraine, at least three people have died in clashes with police. The first fatalities in a two-month anti-government protest have been largely peaceful. Shovels scraping sidewalks can be heard in much of the Northeast today after a winter storm dumped more than a foot of snow on Philadelphia, 11 inches in New York City. An offer from billionaire investor Warren Buffett and Quicken Loans is making March Madness a bigger bet this year. They'll give $1 billion to anyone with a perfect NCAA bracket. ABC's Ryan Smith.
The chance of actually picking a flawless bracket? 1 in 9.2 quadrillion. That's 18 zeros. Like hitting Powerball 3 straight times. In fact, you're more than 50,000 times more likely to get struck by a meteor.
Contestants must submit their brackets on Quicken's website starting March 3rd. Toronto's wayward mayor, Rob Ford, has apparently fallen off the wagon again.
How much money that cost?
A YouTube video shows him acting out at a fast food restaurant in Toronto Monday night. Ford admitted last year he smoked crack while drunk and had pledged to stop drinking. This is ABC News.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This could cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest price. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-390-9323 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-390-9323. Call 800-390-9323. That's 800-390-9323. Again, 800-390-9323.
It seems many consumers hate their banks, from high fees to slow bank transfers to confusing rules and fine print. ABC's Richard Davies looks at the complaints.
The growth of national banks may have led to a decline in service.
Roughly 63% of their customers of top 10 national banks, believe that the banks don't have their best interests at heart.
Bank consultant Steve Beck of CG42 says his firm surveyed customers about widespread complaints.
I think what this means is that it's time for the major institutions here in the U.S. to take very seriously the frustrations that their customers experience with them.
Bank customers do have plenty of choices. Richard Davies, ABC News.
A couple of Las Vegas casinos are taking a gamble with Bitcoin payments. The D Casino and Golden Gate say their customers are free to use a virtual currency when paying for their hotels, restaurants, and a gift shop, but not for gambling. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is healthcare. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
And now, it's the News Talk 600 Drilling Down Report.
Slow permitting activity continues in Ohio, with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources only issuing 6 horizontal permits this week. In our area, the ODNR issued 4 permits to Chesapeake Energy to drill in Carroll County, with 2 permits in Loudoun Township and 2 in Perry Township. Permits were also issued in Monroe County. In PA, the Department of Environmental Protection issued Hillcorp Energy 4 permits to drill in Lawrence County in Mahoning Township. No new permits were issued for Trumbull, Mahoning, Columbiana, or Mercer counties. CONSOL Energy says it expects to invest about $1.5 billion this year to accelerate its growth in natural gas production, with a target growth of 30%. The company says $1.1 billion will be directed toward drilling and completion costs in the Marcellus and Utica shales, with half of that targeting the liquids-rich areas in the plays. According to the press release, CONSOL's Utica Shale joint venture calls for a total of 32 wells to be drilled in the liquids-rich corridor that runs across Harrison, Belmont, Guernsey, and Noble counties.
Our regulations are going to be tough and thorough, clear and complete.
That was the message the director of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Jim Zeringer, brought to the Regional Chamber's Government Affairs Council luncheon at Seminaros in Niles. He told the audience regulations in Ohio need to be more stringent because of the population density and because the activity we're seeing now is only the beginning.
Some of these numbers are staggering, and we have reports that one of these wells can produce as much as a couple hundred conventional wells of gas and the same of oil.
We're not here to make you believe that this industry doesn't pose risks. It does. But risks can be mitigated.
The head of ODNR's Oil and Gas Division, Rick Zimmer, says the agency will soon be rolling out new rules for the industry regarding, among other things, well construction and facility maintenance. But half a dozen protesters outside the luncheon contended the regulations aren't enough to ensure the safety of the public and that control of the industry should be handled locally.
There's never been a reported case of water contamination from hydraulic fracturing. We're convinced with the new well standards that we have today that this is going to continue to happen.
Standards, the ODNR says, came not a moment too soon, as the already speedy development of the Utica will only be accelerated by the midstream infrastructure now starting to come online.
Maybe as much as $12 billion worth of investment has occurred already, and we have some reason to believe that there might be as much as $6 billion investment in this year.
This year alone?
This year alone.
I'm Michael Moliterno.
When shopping for car insurance, don't end up buying more insurance for more price. Instead, talk to Safe Auto. Always the right car insurance for the right price. Right now, 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Call, click, and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio, and now is a great time to find out why. Now featuring 0% financing for 60 months. Visit DriveOneOhio.com for details.
This is Father Andrew Grum of St. Michael's Orthodox Church inviting you to tune into my program, On Earth as in Heaven, every Saturday at noon here on AM 600 WSOM. Every Saturday I bring to you a powerful discussion of early Christianity, church history, ancient perspectives on Scripture, all from an Eastern Orthodox spirituality. This spirituality is historically documented as early Christian. So we will talk about many subjects of ancient wisdom. What is the church? How does the doctrine of the Holy Trinity influence your opinions on the truth? Why is St. Athanasius so much more important than Martin Luther? Tune in every Saturday at noon to listen for a half an hour of religious meanings to life that you may never have heard before, yet they have been known for 2,000 years. This is Father Andrew for On Earth as in Heaven, Saturdays at noon.
it, right?
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And in studio, I have both Six and Jeff. And I know I've bounced a little bit all over the day. I need to get my thoughts together. But there's just so much. And I see so much. And it's like, I just want people to think. I need to pull that up. You know, I'm like Aretha Franklin. Think what they're trying to do to me. Think about what you're trying to do to me. Close enough. Yeah. And let your soul set you free. I got to pull that out. I just want people to think, because people are being manipulated. Well, we talk about a ventriloquist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the man called him a big dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say this. When you follow people and you allow things like that to happen to you, that which they're calling him, they're actually doing and calling you.
Right.
And we're going to have to, as Americans, begin to think. You know, we don't need to become another country. We just need to take care of the country that God gave us. We need to put God back into the country, if that would be a start.
I mean, most Americans don't realize God gave us the best piece of real estate on the planet. And we're just too stupid to use it.
But God made man. God made man the best piece of real estate in the world.
Right.
Yet we abuse it. And if you really, I mean, when do you start electing governors who say things like, if you're pro-life, you're not wanted here in the state of New York? Who says that out loud?
Somebody who thinks they can get away with it.
But he did.
The same thing.
But
it's the same thing as that Alabama governor in the 60s that was talking about the Freedom Riders. Said they're not welcome here, they're just rabble-rousers and they don't need to be
again,
here.
But look at this.
It's the same kind of a mentality.
But again, look at what we're saying here. Look at what we're buying into, and we're voting for it. Wallace. And we still continue to vote for Wallace until Wallace died.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why. Well, he was a good guy.
Ran for president. Didn't make it.
Why? He should have made it. Obama made it.
That was cold.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I'm gonna let you take the mic. That was cold. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Say something. Quick.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, it's funny because a lot of people will ask me. They'll say I tend to be a bit high strung, if you haven't noticed, and they ask me what I take things so personal about. When I discuss politics and such, and one thing that I look at, I find it's almost insulting. I've worked, and it's not that I have the only story like this. I'm sure a lot of people can relate, but I've worked for almost 25 years now, and for the first 20 years, I faced a lot of the issues that the Democrats point out as people not making a lot of money in this country and the obstacles that they face. I faced that for 20 years. I have a hurt back. I have hands that when it gets cold out, they hurt. I have medical issues because of the work that I used to do and the very low pay that I used to get. But you know what? After 20 years of work in those jobs, and I did work. I made sure that I provided for my family and what I needed and what they needed. I finally made it to a job that I'm happy with. It pays me well. I mean, the most I ever made before this was like, and I'm talking, this is top dollar, maybe $30,000 a year, maybe, and that was only for a year or two. Now I have the ability to make almost unlimited amount of money as long as I put the work in, and suddenly they want to take that after 25 years of working my butt off. They want to take that away from me and spread my wealth that I've worked this hard and this long to get. And that is insulting to me.
Well, it's going to take us really doing something about it because, you know, people don't know that this is stacked backwards. They got this income inequality thing, and they're getting ready to twist this thing like you would not believe a corkscrew. And go ahead, Steve.
Well, have you seen the latest report of the top 20%
mm-hmm.
in this country? One of the things per household, they have four times the number of wage earners as the bottom 80% per household.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the issue, and I throw this. Jeff, you showed me a quote the other day that talked about if you have too many cats, you're crazy.
Yeah.
If you
hoard cats and you have them all in your house, you're crazy. But if you hoard your cash in a bank and don't help enrich the population, you're given an award. And I'm saying, what the what the 18 double hockey sticks is that?
Well, I mean, seriously, don't we realize that?
But does that make any sense to you? Now, I don't know what liberals think until I see them come out like this.
You know, I teach the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace course, and one of the things he talks about is this toxic attitude that we've been led to believe through twisted scripture about money. And that's one of the problems.
Yeah. Somebody got a phone on. Radio on.
And,
yeah.
You know, money is just a tool. It's just the way people deal with each other. And why should you want to take? I use this analogy.
Why am I comparing myself to people that are outside of my home?
Right. That's because humans are fallen, and that's covetousness. We have to guard against that.
Your life, if you have, it's your business what you have.
But Tracy, explain to me this analogy. You've got a guy that wants to build a hospital. And so all his life he works and he slaves really hard and he stacks up bricks to build a hospital with. You take a guy that wants to build a hospital. He works, he slaves all his life. He saves every penny he gets and he invests it wisely and he's got cash laying there to build a hospital. Nobody wants to come and take the guy's bricks that he's got, but they want to tax the snot out of his money that he saved in order to build a hospital. Why is that the mentality of us?
I think it's this way. It's conditioning. I have been taught to look at my neighbor and to become like him and to hate him. Even the commercials tell me there's a Cadillac commercial that's on right now, and it's talking about, I think it's Jenny's mom has got it going on, because Jenny's mom drives a 2014 Cadillac.
Okay.
So when Jenny's mom comes and picks Jenny
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, listen, turn your radios off if you guys want to talk, because when I pull you up private callers, I can't have some feedback in here. Jenny's mom can't be having it go. What's wrong with my mom and her paid for hoopty that she doesn't have a car note on? And why does my mom not have it going on because she's not in a 2014 Cadillac that she's leasing and does not own? Because right after they get done with that, they come up with the lease program.
Oh, yeah, because
you can't afford a brand new Cadillac at full price.
That's the thing. You know,
you understand that, right?
They pass a lease off as that's how poor people can drive new cars, and the majority of leased vehicles are high-end vehicles.
Yeah, because they're write-offs.
They're write-offs only if you
have
a business.
Not necessarily.
The people are going in and buying leases, and in 2 years, you got to control your mileage.
Well, you're right.
You're going to control where you get your car serviced, And then at the end of 2 years,
I mean,
you got a balloon payment for you to own the car and or, which is usually higher than what the car is worth, and or you got to go back and do another lease because you do not own the car that you just got done spending.
And you don't have any money saved for a down payment on it.
Absolutely not.
And that's another thing, though. New cars, on average, it costs you the payment plus $400 a month to own a new car.
That's what I'm saying. So this commercial says Jenny's mom got it going on because she drives a 2014 SLX. And I'm like, she sure does. That's a bad car. So I am conditioning my kids as they watch these commercials to look at somebody else's car.
Oh, yeah.
And to compare my life with another car and say, she's got it going on, so I must be, don't have it going on because my mama don't have a new car.
And couple that with that the poor people and black people especially are taught to hide their poverty. Because you'll find on a Friday and Saturday night years ago in the projects, you'll find all types of Cadillacs and
oh, absolutely pulled up the houses that had plastic on the windows that they didn't own.
That's not just a black thing.
It's not just
a black thing.
But black people hide poverty. I mean, we misappropriate funds.
Right. Because we'll buy Jordans for our kid
on welfare.
We
will put Calvin Klein's on our behind and not have a Calvin and a Klein in our closet.
Without a pot or window.
Try to call, your mic is on.
Hello? Is that me?
How you doing? Yes, ma'am.
How are you? Can I talk to you?
Good. How are you today? Yes.
I'm just marvelous. I have a question.
Sure.
I hope I get an honest answer about dirty money.
Okay.
If you got people on both sides of the track taking dirty money, on the Democratic Party and the Republican Party taking dirty money, what's the difference between the two of them?
Nothing.
So, and you're having things happening like that, so why are people still in both of those parties?
Because they won't ask nobody else for anything else. But this is something that I learned from some wise old men. You cannot change the system from the outside in. You got to get inside, learn it, and then change it.
I'm not talking about the system. I'm saying the parties that people always have.
That's what I said.
About the Democrats.
You cannot change the parties, the political platform. If you look at the laws right now, the Tea Party, the Libertarian parties, all these third-party parties that are coming around and have been around, they have a hard time getting in because the laws are written by the people who don't want them to compete with them.
So the people that are not happy in the Republican Party are going to the Tea Party? That's still the same.
The Tea Party, actually, Freedom Works is trying to take over the Republican
They're
Party.
They're still the same people, same faces. But if you don't want to belong to either party, couldn't you see why and ask the question, why either side
And I understand where you're
They're
coming from.
Moving.
But what I'm saying is if you think you can stand outside of my house and throw bricks at it and I've got a bulletproof window, all you're doing is hurting your arm.
Yeah, but if you're standing outside throwing a brick at somebody else's party, then you're doing the same thing. You're just standing
listen,
and they're just in the wall and bouncing off.
May, a political party is a like a vehicle. If you can agree and you're honest with yourself, you know, whatever your views are, if the Democrats best fit you, then be in the Democrat Party as far as what you personally believe. And if Republicans fit you, then be in that party. Because this is what needs to happen, though.
You can vote.
You can vote in the general, but you will not be able to choose who you want to run for the office if you're not in that party and vote in the primary.
That depends what state you're in, Jeff. There are states with
open primary.
Correct. But you have to understand.
Well, what I'm saying, I don't see nothing in both of them. Because the dirty money is in both of them.
But you're missing my point. There's dirty money everywhere you go.
Right.
But when I get it, I can turn the money clean.
And then you have
But
a,
I got
it.
But I got to get it to make it clean. And like I said, you know, as I sit on boards across this state, I've got to make the right decisions and stand up for what I believe and then stand behind for the decisions that I make. And when I say this, good people have to get involved, because all they're doing is shutting good people out.
That's right, and good people don't even have anything to do with what party they belong to.
You're not listening to what I said. You cannot stand outside and throw rocks at a bulletproof window.
You have to sneak into the house. You have to
absolutely.
You have to befriend the homeowner. You have to befriend the homeowner in order to get into the house and then have a conversation.
Well, that's
it's called
false. If you got to befriend,
it's called
when
infecting.
When he's not looking, you rifle through his jewelry box.
It's called infecting and then reinfecting. Somebody, if you look at both political parties, there was definitely an infection that took into both political parties.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to get in and reinfect it with what you believe is correct and right.
Yeah, because the Democrat Party of today is not the Democrat Party of my grandparents.
And the and let me say all this. And the Republican Party of today is not the Republican Party of yesterday.
No,
right.
And we need to understand. But the reason why they are the way they are is because we have allowed them to become what they are. Because we have, they told you shouldn't talk about religion.
Politics, religion, and sex.
Politics, religion, and sex. So you don't talk about those things out in public. Those are private things that you talk amongst yourself. And what is infecting our lives more so now than ever before?
Politics, religion, and sex.
Bottom line. Stanley, how you doing today, honey?
Very good, very good. I'm listening to what you're saying, and go back to Jeff. I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm going to have to disagree for what you're saying.
Well,
I have a problem.
Hold on, that's good. We've been doing good for the last week. We've been agreeing all week long, so it's about time for us to get to a disagreement.
I've been agreeing with Jeff for the last week, and I was shocked.
You're changing, Stanley.
No, I'm not changing. You are coming with facts that I agree with. But the problem I have is when you look at the state of inequality of America, I have a problem when I have stats like saying to me that the 400th wealthiest American have 60% of the 2% of the wealth in America.
Mm-hmm.
400 people have – wait, let me finish. 400 people have more than 80 million families. I have
Stanley.
A problem with that. I'm sorry.
Stanley.
That is not normal. That is not
Stanley.
Normal.
Stanley. Let me tell you, I think I said this before, and I'll say it again today. You are right that there are things that are not fair, especially in America. But me not thinking that they're not fair is not going to change and make it fair. The only way it's going to make fair, hold on, the only way it's going to be for it to become fair is for me to get inside and make it fair.
Yeah,
and to be informed.
But when you come with stats like that, and Jeff is saying, no, we don't have any problem. Yes, we do.
Listen, but you're going to have to live with it until you can equalize it.
And you're not.
And make it to where America has never been fair.
No, but it's never been 140 in the country when it comes to
inequality.
Listen to this. It's never been fair. Because you got to remember,
yes.
America was built on free labor, so you had people that were highly impoverished making money and insuring people and using them as chattel a long time.
Stanley?
To address that issue, though,
fair is relative. I mean, fair is relative to the individual. You know, I go to boot camp. I might see something, or the drill instructor might do something to me that, you know, that is totally unacceptable in civilian life. And they might say that, well, that's not fair. No, I get punished because of all the rest of the recruits do something, okay? But it's really relative. I mean, I could care less if somebody's got, you know, 400 people have 62% of the wealth. That doesn't make any difference to me.
Yes,
my
it should. Mentality. We
Stanley?
Used to be basically...
Why?
Because, okay, I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you why. If an owner of a company, of a CEO, basically lies and say, we need to cut people, and a lot of companies done that. That's why Clinton came with a law that protected us.
Sweetheart,
go ahead.
You are looking, listen, when you look at corporations on Wall Street, you cannot look at them. And I keep on saying this. And yes, when you talk about those CEOs are not a part of that 400 and some people that you're talking about. That upper 1% and 2%, they are so far off the chain. It is unbelievable. You don't even know their name. We just call them one percenters. Your CEOs are nothing but money-grubbing people who have clawed their way to the top. They got theirs with a golden parachute and jumped off. Bottom line, that's who they are.
Yeah, but Stanley,
listen to what I'm saying. Those 1 and 2% that you keep on talking about, you don't have – your arms can't reach that far. What I'm saying is if you're going to change the world, then we need to start establishing companies on our own and hiring people and then treating them right.
If you think
I believe that if I treat my employees right, they'll give me a good product.
Your biggest asset is your employees.
You don't believe that if I hire good employees? And if I treat
you
right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
and if I treat you right,
you believe if you treat them right, they will give you a good product.
Right.
And that is not
now
true.
Don't get me wrong. If you have
a good product and you treat your employees right and everything, you will benefit from that. But if you have a good product and you're cheap. And you're a cheap person that's saying, I'm going to cut people and get more money for me because I'm the owner of this business, which a lot of CEOs did when they were lying, and cut people and say, you're going to keep $25,000 even though I'm making a lot of profit in the company.
But that's not treating employees right. My prerogative is not to work there. I don't have to work there. Yes, Matt?
Let me just answer something that Stan just said, and he points out a very good thing, and it's what the free market system is all about. These companies that he's talking about where the employees were treated badly and the product started to go downhill and horrible, those companies, unfortunately, are now being bailed out by the U.S. government. So they're not allowed to fail as the free market system was set up for.
No, they weren't formed by the U.S. government. No, General Motors wasn't formed by the U.S. government. No.
Exactly. No. Sorry, say that again.
And Stanley, is the standard of living under our current system for the average person better than it was under the feudal system of 100 years ago where the lords and ladies
Why are you comparing to 100 years ago? Why don't you compare it to the best time when we were in America? Compared to the best time and everything, you know that the earning of the middle class didn't change. That's the problem.
But the earning of the upper class changed. Let me take Stanley's side for just a moment. People are working their brains off.
Right.
And they're not getting more money.
Nothing's different. This is the way it was my whole life.
No, it wasn't. You could work with one salary, you could have a house.
I'm trying to tell you, people right now.
It wasn't.
At one time, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you could go to work with one person in the family working, and you have one car, you have two kids. And you would live a modest, decent life.
And
thank you, Tracy.
In today's society, the way things are going, and it's a society. Let me finish. Because if you look at how much a Snickers bar costs you today, or a washer and dryer, or just to get something fixed, even if you're trying not to spend money in America today, you have a hard time living.
Why?
Because the society and the market measures that the government has imposed upon everyone is causing them to work harder and bring home less.
And they've depreciated your currency.
Correct. So you cannot tell me that we're playing with the same dollar because we're not.
Well, you're not, exactly, and that's the problem I have. And when people are saying that they need to have more money, people are saying, no, you don't. Yes, we do. Because the power that you used to have, you don't have it the same power than before.
But I have to live as a pauper on that.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Listen, you go ahead.
Well, the lifestyle you just described, you can still do on one income. But people,
no, you can't.
Yes, you can. You said one car.
No, you can't. Not in New York. No, you can't. Trust me, you can't.
Okay.
Good luck in New York having a this.
Well,
no, you can't.
York
you can't have a house in New York if you don't have over
$500,000.
Trust me not. You can't have a house or something in New York if you don't have 6 months of salary in the person. You can't have a – good luck trying to live in Manhattan.
Hold on, Stanley. Hold on. Stanley, I got to come out of Manhattan because y'all crazy out there. Let me say it this way. in the most majority of the cities across this country, right now in the city of Detroit, I can give you a house, and you don't have no note, and you can't afford to pay the taxes on the house I give you, nor will you get your, nor will you have your street shoveled in the wintertime.
So well, who sets the tax rate?
That has nothing to do with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer.
That's true, but we were talking about the quality of life.
Can I please speak?
Because you said you can live on the same way on the road.
No, I didn't say that. You said you have to live as a pauper if you do certain things, and I said no, you don't. And here's the problem: you don't know what you're not addressing why it is like that. You're just saying you're just giving all the symptoms. They're telling you on this income inequality family because they're going to get you excited to go out and support Democrats this fall about income inequality. Well, then tell me how in the HE double hockey sticks did the gap widen exponentially under the great Barack Obama? Okay, how did that happen? Well,
because the great Obama tried to do some stuff and basically said no. Let me ask you a question, Stanley.
You know the rules. Let him get it out.
Okay, Stanley. It has not a doggone thing to what he wanted to do because he pissed away.
Okay.
He already pissed away $1 trillion down the drain on nothing because he has no plan. And no plan for us. He has a plan against us. Wait a minute. Let me finish this thought. Okay, now, what's going on is they've printed all of this money, and the stock market is doing great. So who's in the stock market? Rich people. Why? Because they have money to invest, and they invest not only in our market, they invest all the way across the world. Okay, and what is now happening to the United States? You've killed the coal industry. You're shutting down electrical plants to the coal fire, and so your electrical costs are going out, manufacturing costs are going up, and you want somebody to give a freaking job? No, it's not going to happen. That's why they have $2 trillion sitting in the bank in the United States doing nothing because they're trying to outweigh this ideological fool. Now, that's what's going on, and that's why the income gap is growing.
But this goes back to what I'm saying about the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just what's happened. Hold on. Yes, South Carolina?
Who sets the benchmark of what on quality of living? Because, see, I'm down here. I'm in South Carolina. And I know people that are making $28,000, $30,000 a year that are doing very well. They're living fine.
But this is what I'm saying. It all depends where?
Who says that my quality of living is a low quality of living?
It's
that's
not.
That's what I'm trying to say. And that's
it's
what,
not.
But see, that's what the Democrats are trying to say.
But
if you don't,
no,
if you don't live above a certain level,
hold on, Stanley.
Then your
no.
quality of living is understandable.
Stanley, hold on.
That's
let
what
me
they're
say
doing
this.
With the
hold on. Hold on. Listen. And I got to take a break in just a second. I'll leave the phone lines on. This is the
Thank
problem.
You.
The problem is we are talking about different things in different areas because, remember, we've got a talk show that spans a whole lot of socio-geographical economic areas. You understand that. Stanley lives in New York. Their whole apartment is not as big as my studio. And you have to back up to get into the bathroom. And that's just to get to the commode. I've been there. But what I'm saying is, so we need to understand where people live. No, you cannot make it on one salary and have a decent living. And don't tell me to move because it costs money to move that I can't save up to move.
It's not true. I built a house.
It is
on a
true, Jeff.
Salary.
It is true.
When
is true.
You build the house?
1994.
Well, guess what? 2014.
But
I could do it again right now, Tracy.
I'm looking at an article right now. From PBS, or PBS, PBS NewsHour says 1 in 5 Americans will reach affluence in the United States.
We're not talking about the affluent.
We're talking about 20% of wage earners in the United States be wealthy.
I'm not saying that people will not be wealthy. I'm talking about the everyday struggle of Americans today.
Yeah.
There are people that are out there that are trying to do the right thing.
And they're working their butts off, and they're not getting in.
99% of poverty in the United States is self-inflicted.
It is self-inflicted,
no, it's not.
But you still do
not
have the...
You do not have the infrastructure to grow because the government and or the regulations and society has made it to where they don't want people to grow. And if you don't,
I agree with that.
Taxes kill you.
I agree.
And let me say this. And you don't get out of debt.
Taxes kill you.
Licensing
kills you.
They never give you enough to get out. So right now, it used to be you could go to your neighbor and ask them to help you patch your roof. Nobody can patch your roof anymore.
But
because you got to have a permit, because you got to have a building permit to do it.
I don't care.
No, that's not new because they have the permits, because people can't pay, can't have the money.
They can't
do
it. You can't pay. You don't have the money for the shingles.
You don't have the money.
You don't have the money for it.
Stanley, why should a guy have to have a license to be a handyman?
You missed my point.
You're missing the point.
You're
missing the
point. He's making my point. For me to build something on the back of my house, I got to go down and pay somebody to get a permit to promise me that my taxes are going to go up because I improved my property.
Right.
You're making my point.
You and I are on the same page when
it comes
to that.
So what I'm saying to you is that with the house that you built yesterday, that you built out in the middle of the country, that you just built them and you had your neighbors and everybody came together and built the house, have you gone to buy a water heater lately?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
How much has it gone up in the last 5 years?
I just paid $2,200 to have a furnace put out.
No, I said water heater. Water heater used to cost about $129 to $200, depending on what size you want.
Another
correct?
$450.
What happened when the EPA regulations came in and said it had to be?
Well, not only the EPA, it's the OSHA and all the other.
Absolutely. How much did it go up?
Yeah, and also about the profit that the company needs to do for themselves.
Hold on, Stanley. So I've got a $400 water heater.
That's
the same size as a $200 water heater that I paid 10 years ago.
Right.
And you have this, and you have the same salary
now
that you had 10 years ago, which is
$20,000,
and they're asking you to pay $400 for it instead of $100.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you have a problem. That's what we're all saying. That's been my saying from the beginning on equality. And that's the thing that Jeff, I don't know how he doesn't get it.
Wait, hold on. I don't have the same salary that I did 10 years ago. I'm making about 40% more. So, and it's not because I waited for the government to go ahead and raise the minimum wage. It's because I went out and found the area of my expertise and what I did well, and I worked for it. So
yes,
no, I'm
but
not
a lot
making
of people, but you understand
but
a lot of people still did the same way you're doing it and still don't get the salary that they deserve. Do you understand that?
What they're getting the same salary.
What does that have to do with equality?
It has everything to do with inequality because we used to be a generation that, like what everybody's saying, that we used to have one salary, you could have a house and three cars. Now, good luck having two salaries and having a house or even a car.
I think we're in commercial, but can somebody turn down their radio, please?
Can you turn off the radio, please?
Thank you. Oh, maybe not.
You need to hear us.
Yo, can you turn the radio down?
We specialize in original living.
Can you text them? Put it on the chat.
No, that's how I think they're local.
We have over 6 years of award-winning custom design and archival freedom.
Well, this is annoying.
Presentation that enhances the sound. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition ring signed by the artist and number.
Steva, are you still on the phone?
Fine Art Edition. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Canvas. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the plane for that Fine Art Edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Anyways, can you hear us? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but that freaking radio is killing me. Go ahead, Stanley. I'll do the best I can to understand.
Yeah, that's the whole problem, and that's the documentary that I see with Robert Wright that everybody's seeing. He's talking about that. He even showed graphically. See, here are the three best periods as Americans. This is the salary we used to have. Let's look at what happened from this time, the salary that we used to have, to 2012. And you see the graph, the rich are getting 300%, 400%. The salary of the middle class is going down and down.
But Stanley, my question is, why do I care what the rich are getting?
Because you should care, because if people can't spend more money, that brings no economy, because the power comes from the middle class. If I don't spend money anymore, you don't have business, and if you don't have business, then you don't have jobs, and you don't have jobs, et cetera.
What I'm saying is, it's not my business what somebody else is making. I can care.
When you're not American, if it's not your business, it is supposed to be your business.
If I spend my time concentrating on increasing my own salary and not worrying about somebody else's, what somebody else is making, then I will be able to move up. Instead of,
what happens if you do that and you don't move up? What happens if you do that and you don't move up? What are you going to do then?
Well, then I have a choice. I can move someplace else.
Yeah. What happens when you don't have the money, like Tracy said, to move out someplace else?
Hey, Stanley, I'm going to tell you something. I've lived in Detroit. I've lived in New York. I've lived in Boston.
Yeah.
And I've lived in California. Okay? When the job dried up, I moved.
I understand what you're saying, but you're not seeing the bigger picture. You're not saying that we used to not have that, and you're saying, why should we care? Because we used to not be like that as Americans. And if you don't notice that anymore, suddenly you'll come to a point.
No, you know what?
Yes,
It
is your business. I'm sorry to have more people poor. It is your business.
Stanley, hold on. Here's what I care about. I care about when those super rich people are getting super rich because they're allowed to by a government agency that makes up the laws that are supposed to govern all of us. That's what I have a problem with.
Yes, now, and they're allowed to because they basically have no things, no law, no labor union, nobody saying to them, you can't do that and take all the money for yourself as a company and have it on yourself and cut out everybody. And everybody's saying it's the labor union, but nobody's saying something when a CEO basically cuts 80% or 90% of the lower class of his own company and takes all that money for himself. And that's justice? And that's fairness?
If he's allowed to do it, if he's
allowed to. Yeah, and he's allowed to, and that's fair. And that's fair.
Listen to me.
I don't care if he's allowed to do it. That's not fair. That's not just. That's not the way Americans do things. Period.
It's a contract.
If he is going about things the way that the market allows him to do it, okay?
No, it doesn't allow them to do it, because if it did allow them to do it, Clinton would have never come with that law to not say it. You remember that law, what Clinton said? It said he realized that and he came with a law? That's when the talk came. That's when the people said you could still do it by using talk. That's what everything's changed. And that's not America. I'm sorry, that's not the America I want to live in.
Here's what America does.
Period.
It's supposed to allow you to make as much money as you want, as long as
but doing it fairly. Not doing it by the profit of other people. Not doing it by because you could basically scandal things. Not by taking the money of other people and putting it in your pocket.
Well, that's what
Stanley,
the answer
is. Fair is relative. I keep saying that.
Well, fair is relative, but I'm sorry, it's not fair when you've been for 20, 40, or 50 years the same salary of $30,000 and you see the upper echelon at 300%. That's not fair, period. It's not fair when Tracy came with the example where a house used to cost $100,000 and now it costs $350,000 or even $500,000, but you're still making the salary of $30,000 a year.
And you're starting to turn into that. The point.
I need my therapy session.
Well, when you get her in here, talk about the psychological effects of marijuana.
Okay. Somebody's got their radio on, Tracy.
I will, if I can.
Yeah. Let me see. I've got a private call about this.
Who's got radio on?
Who is that? Private call? You've got to turn your radio off when you call in, darling. Okay.
Tracy?
Your mic is on. Yes, Stanley.
Yeah, Tracy, I appreciate that you said that example, because that's the example that I want every conservative to know. When you say a washing machine or a house used to be $100,000, now it's $500,000, and you have the same salary, how the hell are you supposed to go through life? And when I hear one American saying, I shouldn't care, you shouldn't care. Really, that's America. We shouldn't care about those things. Really. That's America. That's what I heard, Juicy. I heard people saying, I shouldn't care. That's what I heard. I didn't hear nobody saying, wait, that's us, man.
I'm on your, Stanley, I'm on your side.
Stanley.
I'm on your side. Because my issue is I agree with you. Because the market has moved, but the salaries have not moved with the market. I just got done telling
you
that I voted yesterday for a 3% increase. What did you say, South Carolina?
Salaries have moved.
When?
Oh, gosh, Tracy, when I started at my job in 97, I was making barely over $7 an hour. Now I'm making over $50,000 a year.
Okay, let me say it to you this way. Not everybody's had that luxury.
Thank you.
I don't know anybody that's making the same money they
were making 10 years. What I'm saying is I may be making more, but I'm still buying less.
Think you are buying less. I think the money's going a different direction.
No, my gas was not $4 a gallon.
That's what she just said.
What I'm saying is my gas is not $4, you know, $3 and keep on fluctuating.
And why?
Because of regulations, because of government. I mean, I'm with you on that, Jeff.
Well, that's what you have to
I'm with you on
Stanley
that.
Stanley doesn't know.
No, but that's the thing also. It's not because of regulation. Your regulation is one part, but the other part is because company wants to make money.
Stanley, let me say this to you, and I want you to really listen to me, and let me get this out, and give me 2 minutes, and I'll give you three. You are incorrect when you talk about corporations. You keep on looking at Wall Street, but your small businesses that employ America, you have no idea the burden that government puts on them, because for every dollar that they pay you, they've got to pay the government a dollar and a half because they employ you based on regulations. You have no idea what it takes through workman's compensation, taxes, FICA, Social Security insurance, unemployment insurance, and then depending on what you do, the regulations that come behind that. When you look at your gas bill, you think that you got a good rate or decent rate at gas bill, you want to see the commercial rate. When you look at electricity,
right,
you want to see the commercial rate for electricity. So you're paying $5.99 per unit for electricity. Your corporations are paying $11.99, and they're using more.
Tracy, my union used to tell me when I worked for a union shop, take your wage and double it, and that's what it costs the company to keep you.
And so we keep on looking at small business, and we have to understand it's the government that is driving the people out of work completely. Because I, as a business owner, if I do not make a profit, I cannot stay in business. Because next year, when business goes down and when things are not as good as they used to be, who's going to cover your salary that day? See, people do not realize that business owners, a lot of them, you see them driving a BMW, but they sweat every time payroll comes around because they got to pay you before they pay themselves.
I've told that story 100
times.
People
don't understand that. And then you need to quit looking at your Fortune 500 companies because those guys, they're on a whole nother level. Wall Street does not reflect Main Street.
And they demonize companies like ExxonMobil.
Well, again, that's because we keep on trying to put a face to something that's not the face of what we're talking about.
Right.
You're a small business owner, you don't see.
You don't see the one percenters.
You don't see the people who pay your salary.
Right.
You don't know what their lifestyle is, what they do to make sure that you have a job. But they've got to make a profit.
I told you.
Stanley, when you look at Wall Street, you've got to close your – Wall Street is a beast of another color. We need to deal with them separately than we deal with the average mainstream employer.
I've told that story so many times. My mother-in-law was picking change out of a coffee can to buy groceries, but all the men got paid.
Again, that's how it works. That's small business. So, Stanley, and I understand where you're coming from because, yes, we're working harder, we're working longer, and we're getting less. You are right. But it is our government that is over-regulating, overreaching, and making some really bad policy that we don't even hear about. How can you have a tax code that's 72,000 pages?
He said because the companies want to make money. Listen, Stanley, that's why you go into business.
I have no problem, Jeff. I have no problem with a company making money. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much money they make.
Yes, it does. It does matter how much money you make. Trust me, it does.
Stanley, above their cost of paying your bond to work for them, not you in particular, but the people that work for them, and all of their taxes and all of their regulations, all their insurances, all of their permits, all of everything, the risk that they have to take just to make the product, it does not matter because they paid the cost to make the money that they're going to make.
Let me ask you the question. How come before, when we 30, 40 years ago, and that's the example that Tracy's taking, we didn't have that. We had maybe like Tracy.
Stanley, the difference was it was because the one income could buy a house because the society at large would allow it not to move, and because every time you move every time you move the minimum wage, you move everybody. Right now, minimum wage just moved up to $7.90, I believe, in Ohio, and every other wage with minimum wage moved up too.
No. Who was the number one exporter 35, 40 years ago?
What do you mean, no, it didn't?
So, I mean, the minimum wage went up, but the problem is the people that were making just above minimum wage, they didn't get any raises.
That's not true.
Question people. Who was the number one exporter of goods 35, 40 years ago?
America.
United States.
America.
Oh, you mean we were the number one market and everybody came to buy from us because we were the best, right?
We ain't the best no more.
We ain't the best no more. You got a world market.
Yeah, but the America GDP went double. Wait. GDP is double. So you can't think that the productivity went higher. It didn't go down, Jeff.
Stanley, it went higher and higher. Stanley,
after and gap,
but you got to understand, what's happened is we got bad policymakers making bad policy, even with their foreign policy. Because if you look at the tariffs, and tomorrow we'll bring this up again, but you got to understand, it's all government moves. And until we start electing and getting involved back in our government and our democracy of America, we will always be having this fight because you will never be equalized. You will never have access to it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
If you love the food and the home.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor.
Hello.
Hello, Stan. How are you?
Not bad. That's a serious problem we have in our country. And I'm sorry. I feel sad when I hear Americans saying, I don't care. You don't care? Wow. You don't care.
Well, that's a very generalized.
Yeah, we used to be a country who did care, who didn't accept that shit, who would have said, hey, wait a minute, that's not fair. What happened to
What I'm saying, Stanley, is this. I really don't care what the next guy's making.
You should.
I care about what I'm making.
You should.
Why?
I'm not
going to be in his pocket.
Hold on, Stan.
Because he's not going to pay my rent.
You should.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. I can't control how much he makes.
I understand that. Well, he can't even control how much he makes. Because if a company decides to pay you $35,000 a year, even though he could pay you $70,000 a year, he puts the $35,000 and the other $35,000 in his pocket.
But I agree. He's taking all the risk.
What is he taking all the risk? It's some of the owners of the business are not even the people who are getting paid the most. You know that.
But why should I be concerned? Why should I be concerned about what he's making?
Because it changes everything. It changes the standards of life. It changes. How do you think the economy starts? Do you think the economy starts from the middle, from the bottom, or do you start from the top? I believe it starts from the bottom. The more people have money in the bottom or in the middle class, whatever, the more the economy goes. The less money people have at the bottom, the more less business you have, the less product you have, the less everything you have.
Okay, so let me take what you just said, Stanley, and point something out. You're saying that the more the money that people have on the bottom is more important than what they have on the top, correct?
Yes, because a person
okay.
at the top could be having $10 million and put it in a bank account and doesn't spend money on
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, I got you. All right, now let me throw this at you. They're on the bottom, okay, which means they don't own a company. They're pure workers because they're on the bottom. They're not giving money out to any workers, so they're on the bottom. So at what point do we look at them and say, you're evil for having all this money that you miraculously accumulated from the bottom? When are they evil, and why are they allowed to keep, why aren't they demonized for having wealth? But the people that are providing jobs on the top are demonized.
The people are providing the job on the top are demonized because when we see the difference of 600 or 500% between the bottom and the top, that's they're being demonized. If the I have no problem with the people in the top getting profit and money, but not to 500%. I have no problem people in the top saying, you know what, I took the chance and everything, but by the same token, like Tracy said, treat your employee good. Don't start saying that you did it on your own. And I'm sorry to say, too many owners said, I did it on my own, and many people need to tell them, no, you didn't. If it wasn't for your employee, you wouldn't have the business that you did have.
Hey, Stanley, I work for a guy who's only one of only 10 people that do what he does in the world, okay? And his main goal is to not only share his product with the world, because he takes a lot of pride in it, but is to be eventually extraordinarily wealthy to the point where he doesn't have to work anymore and can just go out and enjoy spreading the idea of his thing. Now, at what point, and I don't care if he makes a 4, 5, 1,000% above the bottom, when does this guy turn evil?
Okay, when does this guy, let's say that person does do the business in the beginning and does that, and then start hiring employees, and he knows, like, okay, I can make an employee, well, let's say I know the salary of an employee, good employee, $70,000, but let me pay them $35,000. The company gets more and more profit because of the product of the company, becomes successful, instead of sharing that profit with his employee because they worked also. It wasn't
well,
just him.
That is sound economics, Stanley.
Yeah, but it wasn't what companies do. The owners do that? No, they have the mentality. I created it on my own, so I should keep all the profit of it.
Now,
let me still keep the person for $35,000 for 10 years. And let me go from $200,000 to $1 million.
I hear you. I get it. You've been saying the same thing for years, and I get that. Now, I can tell you that, let's just say my company again, and you're right. You know, he the more he pays out to his employees, probably the harder they're going to work for him and do what they need to do to make him more money. And to lose those employees would be horrible. That's why he pays us. But if he did do what you said and decided to pay them $30,000 or $35,000 a year, you think those employees are going to stick around? Because in this country, you're allowed to shop for other jobs and leave.
Well, some people won't. Some people will stick around because it's good. It's hard to find a job. I'm sorry. We don't live in an economy that basically people can get a job out of nowhere, except if you're very, very specialist and you're very, very much in demand. But good luck having a job. How many people don't have a job since 2008?
Those people that stick around $35,000 a year at that company deserve their wage because they have no gumption and no nuts to go out and find themselves a better living wage. They just don't do it.
I agree with you on that one. I agree with you on that one. I mean, you at some point, now, you know, I got out of the Marine Corps. I went to trade school, okay? I became an electrician, even though I was a computer electronics technician, okay? Couldn't find a job. That's why I became an electrician. You know, here 10 years later, I decided to go back to college. Got a college, got my bachelor's degree, got my master's degree. Now what's the next move? I'm going to go for a doctorate. Why? Because I want to, and because it offers me the chance to get a job. When I see that job that says executive director of such and such corporation, and they say minimum requirement, PhD, if I've got a master's, guess what? I can't get that job.
That depends. I'm sorry, that depends. There's many people who had that same position who has a master who will get that job. You know why? Because they have the contact with the people in the top, and they'll get that job.
Stanley?
Don't be fooled because of the degree.
No. When they say minimum requirement and don't even mention experience, that's what they're talking about. You can't be an adjunct
but I'm
professor.
Telling you, I've been to many companies, and I've met supervisor bosses and said, we're using that basically to eliminate people. That's it. We don't care about your degree because some of them are being formed in the company.
So the bosses and the CEOs that you're talking about, Stanley, want to get back on the factory floor and do the work themselves. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that when he's talking about, I'm supposed to have this degree, many of the CEOs, if they're honest with us, say we're using that to eliminate people, and many of them, when they have the degree, we're forming you to have the mentality that we want in our company.
But
so
if they're eliminating people, Stanley, then their workforce is disappearing, which means somebody has to make the product, which means the bosses have to come down on the factory floor and do their job.
That's the logic you're putting out there, Stanley.
No, the logic I'm putting out there, I'm saying don't be impressed because of the degree of somebody. Because degree doesn't represent the same thing. How many times I heard people have the degree and they expect they're going to be using the degree to do something in the job and they don't even use what you learned in school?
But the minimum requirement says PhD.
Okay.
If you don't have it on that resume,
okay,
what happens? They're not even going to consider you.
Okay. So they're not going to consider it, but if another person is entrepreneur and has a high school money, because he doesn't have a PhD, he could be the boss of you having a PhD.
Well, I'm like this. If I'm going to hire somebody and I have a minimum requirement, I'm not going to go beyond that minimum requirement unless I'm in an extreme situation where I have to.
Do you think a college degree guarantees that you're going to have a great salary, or do you think college degree is a waste of time?
Right now,
no,
I think it's a waste of time myself.
Thank you. I believe that too.
Well, I mean, I'm
but in this day and age is what
not.
I'm saying. I'm saying in this day and age.
It's
I'm not saying that back in the day when it was worth it for people to go to college and they could afford it at the time. I'm not saying that it wasn't a waste of time. But right now,
with the experience that I have, it's a benefit. It's an extreme benefit.
Right. I'm not saying for everybody it's that way. For my wife, it was a benefit. For my brother, it was a benefit. I know a couple other people, though, but then again, you have to look at your college degree that you're getting, too. A lot of people get this weird idea in their head that they're going to go for, like, arts, and they spend 6 years in arts and spend $150,000, and they can't figure out why they can't find a job afterwards.
True that.
No, you're not going to do that with an art history degree.
True that. So it's the whole thing of this. So since you have so much experience in this, I want you to do your own business. Since you have so much experience,
I have.
What do you need to? What? Okay, so you're doing that, and what is your plan? Having the PhD to learn from there, and then get the experience from there to continue your business?
No. Actually, the ultimate goal is to go into teaching.
Is to be in what?
Teaching.
Oh, teaching. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, and at some point, the finances or the mission trump the finances.
Okay.
And so, you know, some people look at it like, well, you know, I want to make a whole bunch of money, but, you know, and that's why, you know, when Tracy says that, you know, you can't make it, it all depends on where you are and what you want to do. You know, I know some folks that have just one salary, and they're doing very well.
They're not. That depends on the standard that you have in your life. I'm sorry, $28,000, $30,000 doesn't cut it for me. It doesn't. And some people it does. And
well,
it's good for them.
But it doesn't cut it for me because
the standard that I want to have in my life takes more money than $30,000 to have those things.
Okay, then. But see, because you have that standard, you know,
and now I have to confront
that
and say, and there's many people who have that standard who are pure people who say, I want to live this life, and they have the right to live that life.
But they don't,
according
to you.
If they work hard, you shouldn't give it to them. I don't believe you should give it to them, but they have the right to live the life that they want to live if they're ready to work hard at it and they're ready to be fair.
Stan, the first part of this conversation since the end of the show, what you just said is completely contradictory.
No, it's not. I think everybody should have to deserve that. But when you take out the fairness of things, so you basically...
Well, there you go. There you go. Now people don't have a right to live their lives because of fairness.
Yeah. Some of them won't live their life because of fairness. Some of them will work their butts out 60, 80, 90 hours and won't say, how come I don't have this and I'm working my butts off because you don't have this out?
Stanley, did you hear my story earlier in the show about my work?
Okay. Yes.
Listen, that is absolutely true. All right, and now, and it's not just the super rich that are being affected by a lot of this, okay? What I'm making now, as I said, is about 40. I was only making $25,000, $30,000, and I didn't complain about that. I just worked it, and I collected, and I scrimped, and I scraped, and I never complained about it. Now I'm making, I'll say between, I'm going to give you a broad area here because I don't want to tell you exactly how much I make, but between $60,000 and $80,000 a year, depending on how hard I work. I'm starting to see the effects already of just that amount, which isn't even a six-figure salary yet. But I'm starting to be punished because I'm making more money. And I'm not just talking about tax brackets. I'm talking beyond that. And I find that insulting.
Yeah. You will be considered completely different because of that. Because of your salary. Completely different. Are you making that salary? You will see
the way
things
you
that
do.
You never saw when you were in the lower standard. Money talks. I'm sorry to say, it does.
Am I the only one confused here? Sal?
I agree with what you said. I agree with what you said.
I don't quite get it.
You basically said you're seeing things a lot more open because you're getting a salary of $60,000, $80,000 compared to what you were before. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. And I'm saying money talks. When you have more money, more power in this and that, you'll get more power. You won't be treated the same way.
Not necessarily.
Good luck.
Necessarily.
Wait a minute. Are you saying to me if you get $1 million a year or $100,000 a year, society's going to look at you the same way if you're $25,000 a year?
I'm just trying to figure out how I'm more powerful. That's all. I'm not any more powerful.
Yeah, but society's going to look at you differently.
I don't care.
Stanley. I sold automobiles when I was living in Detroit. And one day, it was a kind of a cold day, and this guy comes up on the lot, has a long sleeve, kind of like jean shirt on, overalls, and he looked kind of rough. And none of the salesmen would go out there, so I decided, hey, I'm a rookie out here. You know, I'm going to go take a chance on the guy. So I'm standing there, we're talking and everything, and he kind of said, oh, I was out here, I just wondered if anybody's going to come out here. And I was looking at this car for my daughter and talked to the guy for about 30 minutes. He came inside, he sat down, and he wound up buying two cars from me that day. As it turns out, the guy was a multimillionaire. He didn't show it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can't ever judge a book by its cover, you know. But my thing is, you know, it's relative to who you are and what you want in life. You know, I can't tell somebody else that, hey, unless you're making a certain amount of money, you know, you're not going to be, you know, worth anything. And
I agree with
you. Who sets the you know, the rules, the ground rules on what is fair and what is not?
Well,
you know, people are saying, hey, an
elitist collective, you know, does.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
well, somebody who's rational and sees the numbers does. Somebody who's rational sees the numbers. We're three rational Americans who could see the number and see it for what it is, not for what we wish it would be, but to see what it is. This is the facts. Period. I'm bringing you just facts.
I mean,
You can look it up. You can look in the internet. Just look it up. And just do your own research and look it up and tell me, sit down and look at me eye to eye and say, this is normal, this is okay. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you with that.
But Stanley, I know two people. One that worked for the MBTA up in Boston, and the other one worked for the New York City Transit System. They both retired. They both moved here to South Carolina. On the pension that they got up in New York, they could barely live on it. They moved here to South Carolina, and guess what? They made my kings. It all depends on where you live at.
Yeah, it depends on where you live at. It depends the standard. It depends many things. All you guys saw the movie of The Wolf of Wall Street. Did you see that movie?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. They interviewed Jordan Belfort. That's the guy who did that. That person basically screwed up people for $100 million, 2 years of prison for that sentence. He paid only $10 million back, and Piers Morgan was asking him a question about that and say, where's the $90,000 million that you still owe to the people? Oh, I'll pay. imagine that me, I would have $100,000 and I owe just $50,000. You think I wouldn't be in prison, things like that? This guy owes $90 million. He has no pressure at all in life. None.
I didn't see it, but I would be willing, I would bet a donut right now that he had some ties with government officials or
of course he did.
Representatives. Which is why
you see it in the movie. Of course
he got away with it.
Yeah, of course he did. He did a deal with the American people to do this and everything, but he's still owed the $90 million, and they have no pressure.
Because of government involvement.
Yeah, he didn't have no pressure at all. He was like, you could have told him you owe him $2.
Why is it so hard for me to get this point across when everybody agrees with me until I actually say it and they go, no, you're wrong? Stanley, my point is, the people on top, the 2% that get away with murder, okay, they get away with murder because they were able to weave themselves into the government fabric. The government will go corrupt. The people we elected into office will be the corrupt ones to allow them to get away with what they want to do in any way, shape, or form. That's the problem. It's not because they own a company.
I agree with you. They'll take the money to cover their butt, and they'll say, you know, I'll pay you this so you could protect me for next time. Remember, I elected you, so you owe me this and this, and I want you to protect me for this and this I'm doing wrong in my company. Thank you very much.
So my question to you, Stanley, and I always ask this question after people agree with me and I agree with them on that, is who is ultimately at fault, government or the rich owners and CEOs of the companies?
Both.
No, that's the easy answer. Okay.
If I had to choose between both of them, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
CEOs are going to try and be greedy and everything, but okay, I can see your point. Yeah, if the government was fair and just way, he could do say no, I'm not going to do this because I'm supposed to represent the people. So I would say the government is supposed to have a higher standard than the CEO thinking of himself. So I would say government.
Stanley, you're a genius. Thank you very much. You're actually the only person who leans left ever honestly answered that question. Thank you. Thank you.
Because he's supposed to be the morality of the people, and he's supposed to represent the people and say to those CEOs, I'm not going to do that because if I do that, I would jeopardize the people that voted for me.
Right. Now, am I saying in this example, am I saying in any way, shape, or form that the super rich and owners and CEOs aren't evil, satanic, and horrible?
No.
Because they are,
but
they're inherently.
But you're putting a higher standard to government because you're saying, basically, I understand your logic. You're saying they have a higher standard because we voted for them, and we voted for them because we expect you to have a higher standard and represent us as the people. And if you don't have that standard, you shouldn't even be in government.
They are the drivers of the bus, is what I'm saying. Yes.
And at that point, I agree. I see it. At that point, I agree with you. They're supposed to be the higher standard. And that's why I was very disappointed with Obama when he said, I'm going to change things. I thought really he was going to change things. And a lot of people voted for him because of his speech, because he did make me think like Martin Luther King and things like that, of great speech. But I wish he would stand up with his principle and say, I'm not going to do this. And tell the people the truth and saying, what do you want to do? This is a proposal that I'm having, and show it to the people. Because I'm sure there's many things that when Obama went to president that we don't know, that if we would have been president of the United States, we would have freaked out.
Oh, you're saying about, yes. Yeah, no, and I've always, as a matter of fact, I maintain that even though I didn't vote for him the first time, I said that to people. I said, even though I don't agree, I read his books, I saw the past speeches he's given, I have an ideal of his ideology. When he voted, but I told people the first few months, I said, you got to give him a chance because there's a lot of things that come with that Oval Office that regular people don't understand until they take that oath of office.
And that's the problem I have as the government, that he's not telling the people, informing them, this is the situation I'm really having. And letting the people really know and be informed. We're not being informed.
South, were you trying to get in there?
I think he left.
Yeah, I think he had some work to do. Speaking of work, how's business going for you, Stan?
It's doing not bad. I'm trying to open a product on Amazon. I have to do the product labeling and check the product, make sure that it's properly done in China. And Jesus, this and that. And it's to make sure, I have to make sure it's FDA approved, this and that and that, because if I sell the product under the name of somebody else, I'm not going to make profit. If I sell it under my product label name, I'm going to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
like you have to figure out a way to endorse it, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. I have to figure out a way to endorse it and make sure that I'm going to start with a small quantity, buy it on Amazon, and then get it bigger and bigger. Because the first thing I did, it was an e-commerce thing. It was working, this and that, but I was making money. But I was like, why? Why is not the thing happening? And I had a good friend of mine who's doing product labeling in Amazon. He's making so much money. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he gave me the course of something that he studied. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the course right now. I'm going through it. And I'm, you know, all those things that you're saying, the law, the government and everything, it is very complicated.
Oh, I know. It's too complicated.
It's very complicated. I'm going through the shit, and I'm like, what?
Now, do you just sell one product, or do you have a line of products? What do you sell?
I'm selling health and nutrition product. I'm going to have one line of product, and then I'm going to expand to have more and more line and everything. And I'm going to start for Amazon, because I want to make sure that my product do sell, and if it does, then I'll open my e-commerce and this and that, because I want to start. I did the reverse, and I saw the product wasn't working. Yes, I was making money, but it wasn't this and that, and I did drop shipping, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do it that way. And my friend who was making money said, do it the other way. Why don't you go to Amazon, who has the population, who has, because when you do an e-commerce, you have to bring the traffic, you have to do the Facebook, you have to do the marketing, you have to do the email, you have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going directly to Amazon, you don't have to do those things. Those things are already done. Amazon is already renamed. It is one of the number one e-commerce of the world, period.
Right. Yeah, as far as getting it out there, but you still got to come up with the...
Yeah, you have to come up with the stuff, but then you do a research of the stuff that works, that sells the most in Amazon. You do a product that has the same thing, and then you bring your part of seeing what's improved in this, and you have to make sure that if it's a health nutrition product, that it has FDA and things like that, that it does work, because it's your name and your reputation that's in there.
What I was getting at was, there, like with what you're doing, there's now like a ton of competition for it, and I'll ask you the question, what are you doing to try to set your product apart from other people's? What, like a catch line or... Or what?
No, I'm trying to do the marketing, the photos, I'm not doing the there's two types of customer you have. The customer that wants the lowest price and the customer that wants the highest quality.
Right.
I'm trying to be the customer, get the customer that wants the highest quality, because lowest price, I don't want to do that. I've done that once.
And you get what you pay for, right.
Yeah, it was hell. It was this guy is giving me $19.99. Oh, I'll give it to you for $17.99. And then you have another email, I want it for $17.99. And then you're in trouble. And you're lowering your cost to the point that you're not making money, and you're selling your product for $15.99, but even though your product costs you maybe $10 to make and $5 to shape, and you're not making zero profit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be with something like that, with the health and nutrition thing. It's kind of like with what I do. It's the same. We have a like our beginner product that we have. It really is set apart from anybody else who's ever tried to do it. But we can prove it immediately just by playing the drum. You know, people hear it, so it's an immediate wow. That's completely different than these other people. I can see why it's more expensive.
Yeah.
With your product. It's not something.
Yeah, that's the same thing I'm trying to do. Exactly.
Yeah.
Bring the quality of what it is. So I have to test it and check it and do this and that. And it could be from, I'm doing health and fitness. That means not only the pill, but I'm going to eventually open it on exercise, like those dumbbell rack or kettlebell rack and things like that. Eventually it's going to go there also.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go to, I realized, I didn't know that, when you go to certain places and you go directly to the manufacturer, that means the first line, the prices are not what we receive when we get it on Walmart and Amazon. The price is about 90% off.
Right.
You know, and I didn't know that. You know, I knew the price was this and that, but when you go to the manufacturer and you go directly to them and you talk to them and say how much you're going to sell, and they tell you minimum quantity is 1,000, yeah, but 1,000 of a product that's worth 1,000 for $2, that's $2,000, but the product, when you go to check it, it's worth $25 or $40 on Amazon. That's why they could come and say they slash it and they say $40, they slash it and they put it $25. Of course, they
right.
get $20 in their pocket.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, listen, we're about to run out of time here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do in case, I don't know if you do anything with testimonials as far as people go, but I know a lot of people that own gyms and things of that
okay.
nature that might be interested in buying and trying your product out and writing something up, if, you know, that you could use as a selling product, saying, you know, I have people willing to give a testimonial about how it works.
Okay,
so
okay.
If you like,
okay.
I could talk to them, and we'll keep in touch about it.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate it. And you, what do you do? Because I can help you out. What do you do for your business?
Well, do you know what the musical steel drums, like the, you know, from the Caribbean steel drums that you play,
oh, yeah.
musical
yes,
instruments?
Yes, I know. Yeah, yes.
My company manufactures and tunes those.
Wow, that's amazing. Are you one of the owners or you're just working over there?
No, I just work. I subcontract for the company because I work from home and I do the things. But, yeah, I work for the company.
Okay. Are you thinking of doing something over there and owning a part of it or doing something that? Because
honestly, when I praise my company, I'm really not joking. I love the ownership. I love the way that they run the company. I love the fact that they take pride in customer services first.
Okay.
You know,
so they're training. They're seeing the mentality. My employee is my best asset.
Absolutely, he does.
Wow.
Yeah. As a matter
amazing.
Of fact,
congratulations for having a business like that. Congratulations for working for a business like that.
I mean, when you talk about what you talk about during the show, you're right. I'm not saying that you're wrong. A company does improve and do better when they treat their employees better and have a good product and the customers come first.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm not saying you're not. We just have a disagreement on whether that should be government mandated. But we only got like 30 seconds left, and I just want to say goodbye instead of being hung up on by, you know.
Okay.
So. All right, Stan.
Okay.
Have
Take
a good
care.
One.
Have a good
Bye.
Day. Bye.